Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Beer is about drinkability. Doesn't matter the style.
You guys are like walking beer Wikipedia.
That's the first time that you've ever accepted me as a person.
Or you have a fermentation in your gut.
Yeah. I'm jet-propelled at all times.
How many guys do you think that you have the privilege to slap?
Somebody who's never tasted a commercial example, and this is how you know everything about this beer? Please, you don't.
I think it's bullshit.
I think it's bullshit, too.
Wow. Are you guys going to arm wrestle?
No. We're going to teabag fight.
Yeah. You heard of Junkyard Wars?
Can I get another high five?
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Session. I'm your host, Justin Crosley, joined by JP. JP's here today.
Hi.
Bevo's here today somewhere. And Teresa Pasuti is in the studio with us today.
Good evening.
Yeah, all the way down from Crooked Lane in Auburn, California. Now,
yes,
RV drivers out there, if you Google Crooked Lane Brewing Company,
yes,
don't go to Crooked Lane, the lane.
Oh.
Because you can't turn around your RV without ramming it into a tree.
Is it so? It's as advertised.
It's as advertised.
Hell yeah, I love that.
And when I met Pasuti for the first time,
yeah.
I finally found the brewery.
Sure.
After I rammed a tree.
Yeah. Well, it's a very small building.
And I told her my story, and she was like, "You know, we thought about that at first when we opened, but never thought anyone would actually be dumb enough to go down that lane thinking there was a brewery there."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Hi, Teresa, I'm Justin. It's nice to meet you. I'm the dumb one."
No way. I feel like it must have happened some number of times, and I just never really met somebody
who would admit it.
Who had done it in an RV and lived to tell the tale.
Yeah.
So.
Luckily only bent up my bike rack. So, not that it would have. Actually, my bike rack is probably worth more than the RV. So, it would have been better if I bent up the RV.
Yeah.
Really.
So when the garbage guys come, they have to, like, drive in forward, and then they back all the way back out.
So, I thought about doing that, but it's on, like, a busy-ass highway, or, like, right off a busy...
Yeah, it's right there, man. Can't miss it.
Yeah.
Crooked Lane. And
So there is a real Crooked Lane, just so everybody knows. But then there's Crooked Lane Brewery, where you can go find Teresa and her beer.
Yeah, I'm more often at the brewery anyway, so.
No.
Not on the lane.
Doesn't hang out in the lane very often.
Yeah. Teresa, can you come in? We have a tank problem. I got my shift at the lane. I can't. I got to just stand here and direct people the other way.
Been looking at the calendar for the last hour trying to figure out how to not do shows ever. Not ever, just a lot.
Sure. Same.
Should we just reveal to JP on the air though? I'm gonna make you like the happiest person on earth right now.
Okay.
I'm taking the Brewing Network show, this show,
yes,
on the road.
Okay.
From April
uh-huh
to like October.
Oh damn.
You don't have to do anything.
Oh. I kind of want to do something.
I mean, you can join me at any time you want.
Okay.
But you don't have to be here
don't
doing
be
shows.
Here.
The
Hell
shows
yeah.
will take place from different parts all over North America, basically.
Okay. All right.
From April to at least October.
Nice. You're finally living the dream. We've talked about this
for years.
For years,
right?
Yeah. So mm-hmm. good. That's mm-hmm. awesome.
It's time.
Yeah. Okay.
I have nothing else going for me, basically. So,
how is your RV? Do you have enough duct tape?
I think
to
so.
To fix the RV and make sure it holds together.
I have a plan.
Okay.
One that shall not be revealed yet, but I have a plan.
Okay. Because I stayed in that RV
recently.
Chico. Yeah. And you know, you didn't need to look out the window to see outside.
I was going to say, was it drafty up there on the bed with the new hole in the side?
It was a little cold, yeah. And you know, but hey, man,
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be cool.
Yeah, it's like I'm gone. I'm just gone,
all
basically.
Right. Do I still get paid? Or
yeah,
talk about that.
No, I'm gonna. I'm telling you, I'm about to make you the happiest
right.
person
Hell
on
yeah.
earth.
All right,
I can't fire you just because I have
it's
nothing
true.
Better to do than drive around the country.
That's
I don't,
true.
My moral compass won't allow me to do that. You
well,
have a family. If you
true.
Didn't have like a baby,
yeah.
I probably would be like, fuck it. But
gone.
You have like a family.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about it because I'm always willing to work
I'll
for
need
my
help
dollars.
With things.
Yeah, and I would love to do that. Honestly, also, our blood pact, you would be nullified if you fired me. Like, you would,
right.
you would die.
I would die.
Yeah, so.
100%.
Yeah.
It never even crossed my mind.
No.
I was like, I'm leaving, and JP's going to sit right. home and get paid.
Yeah, well, the Necronomicon will really keep you in balance. No, that's
yeah.
cool, man. I look forward to hearing all about it, and
yeah.
I'll help you out whenever I can.
It's in its infancy,
I think
it's
better.
It's not very...
Intimacy.
It's in its intimacy.
Yeah.
I have a lot of planning to do, is what
yeah.
I'm saying,
yeah.
so that people will know where I'm going and like when I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
We'll do listener meetups. We got to book breweries. I'm just going to go interview like at the breweries
yeah.
For like a year.
That's exciting stuff.
In fact, if I can get out of our stupid Oktoberfest festival that we do here in Concord,
yeah.
I probably won't even come back in October.
Damn. All right. Well,
know.
Honestly, I'm all for figuring
yeah.
out how to get out of that.
Like I said,
we
got
to figure out how to replace that income. If we can replace that income,
mm-hmm.
I'll be in like the Florida Keys all winter or something.
Yeah.
There's some
Damn.
Breweries I can interview there, right?
Sure. Well, Crossroads, at least in Florida.
There we go.
So
I'll
he
go
could be
that.
A good bridge. But yeah, you know what? And if you need a to fill a Monday show, we're happy to come in and do it. I'm sure all of
that's
us.
That's probably
I speak
for
all
happen.
Of us when I say that.
Yeah. That'll happen from time to time.
Yeah.
We'll have to plan some things. You know, like
right on,
if I get stuck on a mountain or something.
Stuck, air quotes.
yeah, yeah. If I get stuck, you know, with a belly full of mushrooms up on a mountain somewhere, you know,
talking to a goat's butt.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm gonna go on if I end up like. Doing that ayahuasca trip I always wanted to do.
You really want to do it? I've seen documentaries on that stuff, and that I'm all for like whatever, but that shit is basically like turning your guts inside out.
It is. But if your guts are your brain, yes.
You go through vomiting.
Oh yeah,
for
I do that with mushrooms too though.
Oh really?
Yeah. But I've seen the documentary too, but I've talked
yeah.
to some friends. A friend of mine was actually telling me today that he had just this amazing experience. And I was like, no, I'm terrified. I'd go crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, no, they take care of you in a really like special way so that you can really get inside your brain. And I was like, no, that's what I fucking mean.
That's what I want to escape from.
That's what I would go crazy about.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what's in there.
No.
I already know enough of what's in there to know it'll fuck me up.
That's what I think therapy is good for. It's for people like you and me.
Yeah.
Because we a lot of the light leaks through. And
right.
therapy helps us tamp all that down
sure.
and to avoid it all.
Hide
and,
our feelings
yes,
in there, yes.
And it gives us the tools to dodge what we actually, like it's in, you know, like Star Wars where Luke is going into the thing to see it cuts off Darth Vader's head and it's really him.
Yeah.
That whole kind of Brainiac shit, we don't
right.
want that.
No.
We don't want to go on that vision quest.
Everyone's like, oh, it's so healing. And I'm like, no. That will not be healing. That
yeah.
will be like a, you ever seen
yeah.
the nuclear bomb videos
yeah.
going
yeah.
on?
You'd have to go through one and then a second one to heal you from the things that you learned
yeah.
the first time.
I think you
no,
would just
not
just,
good.
You'd open up, it'd be like you'd open up the nut and then you'd open up that and then you'd open up another one and you'd see the very inside and be like, Okay. It's good.
I don't know.
Oh, no. it's goo.
It is what it is. I am good with the universe.
So that's what people say, is that they like you learn to like accept yourself.
Yeah.
But I don't think these people have a clue of how bad it can get.
They don't have a Russian nesting doll of self-loathing and despair like we do.
Exactly. I feel
and that's one of the main reasons I've never done like acid or I've done mushrooms a couple times and it was fine, but when I did drugs like that, it was very selectively choosing not to do a lot because I didn't. The trees are breathing and the colors are vibrant, and I'm fine with that.
That's all good.
Fine. I'm not trying to see little dust people talk to me in the car. I don't need that. I don't need that world. That's the same thing.
Yeah.
I think I spit on you. Sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize if I will not go on a trip like that. I don't need that.
The last time I ate mushrooms, and this was years ago, I went so far into another planet that was also my head that I thought I was never coming back. And I wrote that shit off forever.
Yeah.
That stuff, that stayed with me for days. I was haunted and
hungry. I wonder if it would be how. Not to just get too into it, but is it how far before or after was the therapy? Do you see where I'm going with
that? I had never gone to therapy.
I wonder if now,
this was my younger self.
Yeah, I wonder if now you could handle a little bit more.
I think it'd be worse now. I think I'm more fucked up now than I was back then, so it would be worse.
Oh. But
yeah.
Outwardly,
you know, people get like better and like more mature as they get older. I envy those people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, outwardly, you're much better.
Great.
So maybe
because inside there's a fucking war going on.
Oh, God bless.
Yeah.
All right. Well, don't do it.
I won't.
You know what you should do?
Yeah.
You should go with other people to do it, but then not do it and just film them, video them.
That's a good idea.
And then we'll do a documentary on it.
On that.
Because there needs to be another one.
A Justin in the Wild with people on ayahuasca.
Yeah.
Part one.
My friends are vomiting. I'm going to drink my own urine for 4 days.
Yeah. Well, so coming to a city near you, the Brewing Network in 2020.
Yeah, me, Justin.
Me, that's right. This healthy person.
Yeah.
You get to hang out and drink beer with me.
Well, that'll be cool, man. I look forward to see how it unfolds.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can join you.
I'll need help, and we'll help in planning and everything else, and then we'll start to, like, publicize what we're doing.
Nice. I love it.
Today's show is brought to you by the good folks over at More Beer. Go to morebeer.com and check them out. They're great, great folks over there. I was just talking to Chris Graham last week, as a matter of fact. And go to morebeer.com. Check them out. Thank them for being a sponsor for all of these years. On today's program, Flatland Brewing Company from Elk Grove, California. Almost neighbors to Teresa's place. Elk Grove is close-ish, right?
Yeah, I mean, within an hour of driving. We're at like the opposite ends of Sacramento.
See. Okay. So they're going to be on the program today, and they're listeners, which is cool. They said, in fact, the brewer said he learned to brew listening to us, so I sure hope the beer is good. Otherwise, what does that say about us, right?
Well, don't take it too personally.
Right. We'll find out.
Too late. It hasn't even happened, and I'm offended already.
Well, other than the announcement I just made, I don't really have announcements for you today. But you can do your Amazon shopping to support us by clicking the Amazon link on the homepage. You can subscribe and join the BN Army, which enters you for a chance to win $100 in the More Beer monthly donation giveaway. You can spend that $100 over at More Beer. The more you donate, the more entries you get. We do that each and every month. So make sure your email is address and is current in PayPal. Otherwise, we won't be able to notify you when you won.
Correct.
That means, when you win.
Yeah.
So do that. Listen to all of our other shows. They're good. Mostly. Hop and Brew School, Heads and Tails.
There's a brand new Heads and Tails just released last week, as a matter of fact.
I saw that.
Our first Warren remote.
Oh, he did it remotely.
Show, yeah.
How did he have interwebs to do that?
He's
in his RV, isn't he?
He was at Dave Malalov's house.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he was sitting in his living room.
After they got done foraging for mushrooms and shit?
Something like that. I don't know, man. For a guy who was desperate to get up to Washington to start a business, he sure took his sweet-ass time getting up there. I think he just made it to Washington.
He did, and he texted me the other day. He got upset with me because I kind of called him out on it. I was like... He told me where he was. He was in Portland.
Yeah.
This was a couple of days ago.
On Halloween.
I just wrote back, longest drive ever. And he's like, hey, I had things to look at first. Like what? Fucking Dave Marlevu and his and his wild mushroom farm?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I had to hang out in Bend with my friends for like 6 days.
He did,
like,
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
I mean,
meanwhile, his wife is home.
That slow, honestly.
Like, so agreed, but his wife like has a job so that he can do these. Like, what the? He's got it. I'm just jealous, clearly.
Well, yeah. Well, look, everybody is.
Yeah.
Because I would love to do that.
She's like home working, and he's just.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll stop at Tillamook today. How about another trip to Sassy's?
Maybe we should go indoor skydiving.
Yeah. These are real things, by the way.
Yeah.
You know what I love doing when I'm looking for a business to open is going indoor skydiving.
Yeah, and spending all my money at Sassy's.
Yeah, in a different state.
So we need to fast forward 2 to 3 years, and Candy's going to be like getting palm fronds.
Divorced.
Or divorced, yeah.
There's the realist over there. I'm the optimist.
Right.
Yeah. She's the realist.
Yeah, you're a beardy fan.
Bev's just projecting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Well,
good luck, Warren.
Yeah, that guy's weird, man. But anyway, it was a good Heads and Tails, and you should listen to it now.
All right, you can check it out now on iTunes or your favorite podcast thing. Although Stitcher seems to not be working for it. I got to figure that out.
Yeah.
But I'm right to the people who do those things. All right, what else? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you know the drill. Send your feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. You could send show ideas there, too, including locations I should stop and do shows.
There you go.
In 2020.
Absolutely.
And give me like interesting ones too, because imagine like it's hard to just do. I'm going to be doing these interviews one on one. Like the format of the show is going to change a little bit, right?
Sure.
Except for when people join me for different parts.
Yeah.
So my point is, I don't want to just do the same interview over and over again. Like, well, what temperature did you? I'm not saying those questions aren't valid, but like week after week, it can't be me one on one with a brewer who doesn't have a story, right?
Yeah.
So send me interesting ideas. You know, it's like people that are, I don't know, brewing on Mount Rushmore. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, like if you know maybe a brewery, a guy who spent a full almost month before opening his brewery indoor skydiving, that would be
that
a good
would
story.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe a brewer whose wife works 80 hours a week so that he can brew a half a barrel of beer. And right. Sell it out of his garage.
That's right. That's the story
that's
we're
really
into.
Really not that unusual.
That's the lifestyle that we're actively promoting. That's a good lifestyle to lead, except when it's Warren.
That's right. We don't condone it for him.
No.
So send good ideas.
I know a brewery that's built over a cave.
See, now that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's
It's built over a cave. It's called Robber's Cave. It's called Blue Blood, and it's in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Okay.
I was there, and I went down into the caves, and, like, I could have gotten lost for days.
Wow.
Like, it's an enormous cave.
That's where I should do ayahuasca, I think.
Oh, my
yes.
God. That's such a good idea.
Yeah. Be like in Prometheus.
5 years go by.
We'll just attach, like, a little kite string to your belt. And
that's probably a good idea.
You just go to your thing.
I'll emerge 5 years later looking like the Geico caveman.
God damn. Yeah. Remember that bobblehead that we had?
Yeah. Some easy cheese down there and some crackers.
That was good. Right. Well, we do have a listener in Montana who has a malt. He's a malt grow. Like stuff and, like that. I think that would be great.
Yeah.
And I love Montana.
Yeah. And I would like to go. That would be one place I'd like to go. So maybe
y'all should join me in Montana because Montana is where it's at.
Okay.
It's
my third state.
It's my second favorite state in the Union. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Same.
Big sky, huh?
It's Montana. It's just. It has everything.
Yeah.
Republicans.
No.
Rodeos.
Oh. Everything you're passionate about.
Republican. Are they
Yellowstone?
Are they Republican rodeos?
Oh my God! I witnessed
redundant.
I witnessed the longest national anthem address. It was more of an address than just a national anthem than I've ever experienced in my life at this rodeo. They start out like. you like, there's like
reading the preamble to the Constitution.
Basically, it was like someone humming in the background. You know how when you start to give a good political speech, someone's like, and they're like, and they're like, we just want to thank our forefathers and the and we want to thank how many enemies we've killed. And this goes on and on and on before they ever get to the national anthem. And and the longer it goes on, and I'm sitting next to my French friend, and the longer it goes on, I finally look at him and I go, you listen to me. When they start that national anthem, I don't care what fucking country you're from, you better stand up and put your hand over your heart, because I am not getting shot because of your little French ass.
Well, we are passionate pacifistes.
You've never seen a Frenchie so stand at attention.
Oh, for sure. You're in weird country right there, dude.
Yeah, you don't mess around. No. It's not a place to have your own opinion. You have a Montana opinion. You, they give it to you when you enter the state.
That's right. Here's the handbook. Oh, where are you from? California? You better take two.
Yeah,
you better take two handbooks. And here's a link to the podcast.
Right.
They'll say you were from California, and now you remember that you're from Connecticut.
Yeah, exactly. Good call. Mm-hmm. That they like. Yeah, they like me better if I'm from Connecticut. Yeah.
Actually, hold on. Maybe Connecticut isn't the right choice.
They're a little too liberal in Connecticut.
Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's that. There you go.
That'll be fine.
Yeah.
Those are my peeps.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember to pack your bug spray.
How about a Twitter game?
Twitter game.
Do we have that?
Sure. We also have feedback, though. Don't forget, because you're starting to do feedback. Okay, sorry. Never mind. I got confused. No. My fault. Sorry.
All right.
Go ahead.
Well, our Twitter game is brought to us today. Brought to us by the 21st Amendment and their newest seasonal release, everybody's favorite tasty IPA.
Yeah.
Near and dear, of course, to the BN Army's heart, because it's a collaboration brew with Tasty McDole. It's a 6.8% and 58 IBU with a nice straw color. It's a tasty IPA and drinks easily, but not necessarily easy drinking. It's got a hop-forward hop bill. In fact, the hop bill is ridiculous. I have to take a breath to do it. Calypso, Simcoe, Azaka, Amarillo, Citra, Simcoe Lupulin Pellet, Centennial Cascade, Equinox, Cascade Lupulin Powder, Mosaic, and then Azaka again, just for fun.
Why not?
It's a real hop salad. Tasty IPA was done as a one-time-only beer, but it was so popular that it's now part of 2NA's main lineup. So go check it out. And it comes in those 19.2-ounce cans,
which
I'm still very confused about. So Sully's got to bring those in and show me what that is. All right, what's our Twitter game?
Well, Justin, I was thinking a lot about you today, honestly.
About you?
About you.
Okay.
About Chew. You. About
me.
You. Yeah.
Me. Oh,
thinking
dear.
About. I'm thinking about you.
Okay. All right.
And you know your Italian heritage.
Yeah, I'm proud of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought,
you know, that my great great grandfather was actually whacked in a barber's chair.
No.
True story.
That's kind of cool.
Whacked in a barber chair. How old school is that?
What great? How many great?
He was my grandmother's father. So my great-great-grandfather.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so was that
That would make him your...
My grandmother's dad.
Would be your great-grandfather.
Yeah, great-grandfather.
Okay.
Great-grandfather.
So okay. Even closer.
So what is that, late 1800s, early 19, probably?
1900.
Yeah.
You want to know why he got whacked?
Of course I do. He stole too many muskrats. And,
he was a gangster.
Because he was sleeping with a mob guy's wife.
Oh.
And the daughter. Oh. Right? That's a standing ovation right there. I mean, he went down swinging, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but he went up swinging, too.
And, you know, he went to get the, you know, back then, the barber, they do the shave. Mm. And that's when they get you.
That's what I was going to ask. Was it the...
He was getting... No. It was a shotgun to the chest.
Oh.
But it's kind of one of those things, like, you're getting the shave, and then everyone sort of clears out. They're like, we'll be right back, Mr. Sabrelli. I forget what his last name. I don't know what my old net last name was. And then, boom, it's over.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
How do you like that?
It's pretty good. I mean, that's a life.
My dad told me a story about him getting whacked at first, and I was like, and I'm super impressed, right?
Sure.
Because I love mob movies and everything.
Yeah.
But then it took me a little while. I was younger when he told me. So later on, I was like, hey, wait, though. But why did he get whacked? doubly impressed. Right?
And the daughter. Do you think that the wife and the daughter knew? Do you think it was at the same time?
I don't know. They didn't know either. They didn't like to talk about it as much as I did.
Yeah, well, clearly.
But is anybody surprised if you know me?
I subscribe to Ancestry. Like, I have a whole tree, like, thing. I want to start a Justin Crosley family tree.
No.
I want to know all about your ancestors.
That's a bad idea.
Fascinating.
Yeah, all the cockroaches.
The problem with that is I'm sure that, like, at a certain point back, it's fascinating. I don't want to know. I don't want to find, like, my brother that I never knew about.
Like the 50s on, where things get a little liberal.
Yeah. I would never do one of those, like, 23andMe bullshits unless I could pick a starting date and just go backwards. Because I'm sure that my people were cool at one point in time, but I feel like in recent history, to produce me, there was a lot of bad things, you know. So
that's just the government trying to clone you anyway, so... Yeah.
Can't be done. Anyhow, I'm sorry to hijack your Twitter game, but
it's fine. Well, in celebration of your heritage,
thank
Justin,
you. Yeah,
I think the Brewing Network needs to start a business that we can wash the money that we gain from various crimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely legitimate businesses,
obviously. Yeah.
So, like the sanitation business, would we get into sanitation or olive oil importing?
Yeah.
How do we wash our legitimate business money?
I like this.
Thank you.
I hope the IRS isn't listening. And, like, you know, sometimes our listeners take your game seriously. And they're like, why would you say a thing? What if the fucking IRS reads that and thinks we're actually laundering money? If you get
audited
come April, JP, I don't know what I'll do. But
you won't even be in the state, so you're fine. You'd be safe. Yeah. I think that's the rule, right?
I'll be moving back to Italy.
Yeah. Right. I think it's the law. If you get audited and you're not in that state, nothing happens.
Yeah. All right. That's our Twitter game.
Yeah, sure.
Let's do some feedback. Feedback's brought to you today by the Beer Law Center. Go to beerlawcenter.com. And John over there, John Simankiewicz, will take good care of you. He takes care of my trademark, and he can do your TTB filings. And just call him. Just trust me. He's even an author now of a book that JP wrote the forward.
Yeah. Well, apparently it wasn't very good.
I don't even remember reading it. Did I ever read it?
Well, I don't know.
I skimmed it.
When you the introduction, I guess when we announced it on the show, it was that you made fun of me.
Oh, right.
Of using myriad.
You used the word myriad incorrectly. Oh.
No, it was not incorrect. It was an alternate definition.
True. That's what we had. We had to argue about whether, but there was one way or another way.
That's right. And there's not a myriad. No, it's both.
Right.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, it was one way.
Sure.
People like you made it two ways.
Look, boomer, things change. Okay.
Right. Yeah. All right. There's only a little bit of feedback, but boy, is this guy long-winded.
Yeah. And so, like I said, man, I thought about trimming it down, but I feel like there's so many points that we could just make fun of him on that it was just going to be fun to leave in.
This one's kind of serious.
Yeah.
Like, all right, Glenn. It's from Glenn.
Yeah. With one in or two, I feel like there's a difference in your personality.
Yeah, definitely two ends on this one. All right. Glenn says, and I'm going to read it as it is. Sorry, I'm a couple weeks behind on the session for reasons I'm sure you don't care about. I'm playing the hypocritical bullshit card on you guys, primarily to get Justin on a good rant in the name of podcast entertainment. So this whole Natty Light ABI advertising thing, and I think he's referring to when there were beer ads running on our podcast and shouldn't have been, and I went off on a whole thing.
Yeah, I think so.
They weren't Natty Light, by the way. They were the Miller one, like Miller Clear or whatever the fuck it's called. I don't know what.
Miller Clear would be fucking great.
It's something
it's like
that.
Crystal Pepsi, but not.
It's something like that. I think that's what he's talking about.
I want to drink that.
Many episodes ago, you had a whole show with Guinness and big talk about their... it's like Donald Trump over here. You had bigly talk about their various styles and their new American taproom in Baltimore. All unicorns and glitter. Hell, I even went there when traveling a couple months ago, primarily because of the show.
All right.
Wouldn't have known about it otherwise. Fantastic place in the area, in an area in need of revitalization. I actually didn't even mind paying full pint prices for 10-ounce pours.
Wow.
Because the place was so cool.
Neg.
You basically gave them an hour of free advertising, which, by the way, I do for every brewery
is,
who comes on here.
That's kind of the point of being on the session.
That's which, by the way, brewers who come on here, you should fucking remember that when it comes sponsorship time.
Right.
After you got your free hour. Anyway.
Yeah.
Or at least when Justin shows up, give him a beer, for God's sake.
Something. Handy? I don't care.
Yeah.
Even a sad hand would be fine.
I've seen the brewer's hands, man. Calluses and shit.
I'll take it.
I would
right
love
now.
A handy. Yeah. I do not
Yeah. Just go get the velvet glove, make it
That's
happen.
Right.
There we go. Should have one on the wall here. Velvet glove.
Brewers only, it says underneath.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, it's all contorted and like stuck in a weird shape, like a like your t-shirt on the next to your bed when you're 17.
Why? Why is it contorted in a weird shape? I don't understand. Never.
Sorry, it was a sock for you. You know.
But I don't understand that.
Yeah. Socks, t-shirts, whatever.
Yeah.
Glenn says, you do realize that Guinness is a Diageo brand, right?
What? No.
So you see where this is going. That Glenn's mad at me.
Right.
Because I'll complain about AB.
Right.
But not talk about Diageo.
Yeah. Broken over the wheel of truth, dude. How do you feel about that?
God.
Facts and logic have destroyed another liberal. How do you feel?
Great.
All right.
Diageo is the largest distilled spirits producer in the world with get out your notes with revenues of $16.7 billion a year.
I love Wikipedia.
That's billion with a B.
Yeah.
So yeah, ABI tops them at $54 billion on beer alone. So where's your cutoff for being the man?
The fuck is he talking about?
So he's mad
because
that
we interviewed.
Complaint. Yeah, basically, if I were to summarize the thing, because when he gets to the end, he's saying we should also interview ABI instead of just bashing ABI, but then interviewing Guinness. We should do both. We should talk to both sides. He's mad because we're. But listen, all right, I get it. I know that they're owned by somebody else. Okay, but it's Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Guinness. Like, do I have to say something else?
Any homebrewer in the 90s or even the 80s, you sort of, within the first year, you researched and tried to cut your teeth cloning Guinness.
Right.
That's just what you did.
Not fucking Beechwood aged.
No.
You know, is that what you want me to talk about? You want me to have them in here so we can talk about Beechwood aging?
No.
We want to talk a little bit. It's Guinness. Your point is taken, Glenn.
Yep.
That obviously they're owned by a big company, but it's Guinness, and it has I'll just say this: I'm biased. It has a history that I'm interested in. I'm not really interested. I've read about ABI, by the way. I've read a lot about the history of that company. It has a fascinating history, pre-prohibition.
Sure.
And after that, the most fascinating part is the Bush children. Fucking gallivanting around the country and getting in trouble and DUIs and cocaine parties. And I'll interview somebody about that, but none of them are with the company anymore.
Yeah, I wonder why. Yeah, there's nothing there.
Well, and there's actually some Guinness brands that are really delicious. Like, Guinness, you know, the Guinness that we all know and love is okay, but they have like export.
Right.
That is... seriously awesome. Like, yeah, it's such
I think
a good
we even
beer.
Tried it on the air.
We did.
And what I don't understand about Glenn's rant is, well, it's a lot of stuff, but it's Guinness's first brewery in America. And they're not making Guinness.
Right.
They're doing other shit. That's what was interesting to
me.
That
was a story.
Yeah, that's the story. But what's not interesting is, who cares about AB? And so, but what else are we going to do is contact AB, which, first of all, they're never going to come on the show. They're just never going to.
Probably not, yeah.
And then we go, well, we want to talk to you about what, your business practices?
Right.
That's a hard no, no reply at all. They're not, let's talk about ZY Ventures, venture capital arm that buys all the craft beer, and what are you doing with that? They're not going to talk about that because
and I wouldn't want to talk about
negative.
It anyway. I would only want to talk to Augie Bush Jr. or whatever the fuck his name is
yeah
about the 80s.
Sure.
That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
You know.
About Toot Central, dude.
Private jet all over the country and just throwing Coke parties.
It'll never happen.
Yeah, never happened.
No. So relax, Glenn.
What else did he say,
Unless
though?
You can hook it up, Glenn.
He goes on to say that, you know, big or small is not inherently good or bad. He says, I'd rather you have ABI on and let them explain why they're not assholes. How they've pumped lots of resources into select breweries. Maybe that's good, maybe not. I wouldn't know because you don't cover it, he says. Oh, except for Diageo. Blah, blah, blah. At the end, he says a weird thing that I completely disagree with because I think he doesn't know me very well.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you're the ad hoc voice of craft and kind of beer in general, whether you like it or not. Why not do some real journalism?
Damn.
You can totally pull it off. And this is where I disagree. I could not pull off real journalism. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've tried and I'm not very good at it.
Yeah.
I'm good at getting people to say things that they maybe wouldn't normally say.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't call that journalism at all. I would never describe what we do as journalism.
No. Journalism is when you have a masthead you're writing for. You know what I mean? New York
or that
Times
you're like trying
journalists.
To uncover a scoop, you know.
Yeah.
We have failed at scoops for 15 years.
The closest we came is when I figured out that Not Your Father's Root Beer was owned by Four Loko.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the level that we like. That's where it is. Everything else, we're just chasing
whatever
a fun
happened
story.
To Not Your Father's Root Beer, by the way?
I think the market just flipped. There was like five that came out.
Flash
hard
in the
root
pan.
Beers. Yeah, then it's just, it's over. People are like, oh, okay, that's
right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now what? Yeah. Now it's seltzer.
Yeah. Oh, God. I can't wait for that to happen, honestly.
Yeah, for that to go away?
Yeah, for that thing to flip and people to be like, I'm done with it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going back to good beer.
To beer. All right. Well, listen, Glenn, I don't hate your email. It's just not.
You're welcome for that.
I hate you. No.
Yeah.
No, it's just not going to. I don't know. If I had something interesting to interview ABI about, I would. I didn't consider our Guinness interview a Diageo interview. And I hear what you're saying. That's who they're owned by. But we didn't talk. We talked about Guinness. Talked about the history of Guinness. We talked about this brewery being the first one in America.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I could interview 10 Barrel, I guess. ABI.
Who cares,
though? I don't know what you want.
Actually, they're selling their Portland brewery for like $19 million.
10 Barrel is?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole thing.
You know, honestly, when I was booking that Guinness show, I wanted the brewer. And we were told we were going to be able to talk to the brewer. I think his name was Mike or whatever.
Right.
And then we couldn't.
I remember being upset about that.
Yeah.
Like, why are we talking to the marketing guy? But the marketing guy ended up knowing a lot about the brand, so.
He was less a marketing guy and more a historian, I guess.
I agree,
definitely took classes. And so he assured me beforehand that I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And I can answer some of the brewing things.
Luckily. Otherwise, I would have hated the show, too.
For sure.
100%. Nobody. In fact, we kind of have a rule for all the breweries who come in here. When they're like, oh, we're going to send our sales rep. We're like, only if he's accompanied by your brewer.
Well, and you know, not naming names, but Bev and I have had phone conversations about how to deal with breweries who want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, the brewer, blah, 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 you know, we have our sales, our PR guy.
No.
Our PR guy and our marketing guy are going to be on the phone with you for the interview. No, they're not. No, we can't do that. And we get our way because it's our show. And because that's what we care about. We want the information directly from the source, not distilled through the company.
Yeah,
so,
who wants to hear that?
I mean, we'll talk to anybody. So, Glenn, if you want to help us out and you think that you can get a contact with AB. And then also, what are you going to do? Bushwhack the interviewer and go, well, let's talk about, you know, this accusation that the guy in charge of buying craft breweries was sleeping with some of the breweries that they bought, and what do you they're gonna leave, they're gonna hang up. It's not journalism. It's
dumb.
I
mean, that honestly, that would be journalism. I mean, that's what you do when you're doing an expose on somebody to try to get to the root of, you know, why. Yeah,
which we don't do. We don't do expose.
It's not our show. It's almost like the to catch a brewery predator, where it's like hey, Anheuser-Busch guy, why don't you come in and have a seat?
And you know why?
Yeah.
You know why we're not that? Because I'm a pussy, to be honest with you. It's so uncomfortable to, like, call people out. I want to make our interviewees feel good about themselves. Right. I, like, get really uncomfortable when I make people feel bad about themselves. I'm not that interviewer. I can't do it.
No, I don't. And I don't want to. Like, I'll sit here and talk shit about anybody all day, but if they're across from me, I'll try to well, you know, about that stolen IP, but, you know, and then, but I'm not going to be aggressive about it because, right, it's not our show.
Yeah. I stuck up for you last week, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
In the feedback last week where you curated the list, a guy was mad about the Alvarado Street thing.
Yeah.
I said, you know what, in fairness to JP, he did have a harder line about it and wanted to talk more about it, but knows that I would have been mad at him if he made our guest uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Not that you like to do that either, but I just said, I take the blame for the soft questions to Alvarado about the copyright, and JP knows I would have been furious if he did otherwise too.
Yeah.
So I stuck up for you in that way.
Well, I appreciate that.
Anyway.
But it's very much like that. I'm not gonna make some guest mad, especially at the show, because then we have 45 minutes or an hour left.
Yeah.
And that's going to shut down the interview to actually talk about interesting shit other than, well, we know.
I'll be honest with you. Even the initial questioning, I can read people fast.
Yeah.
It's part of what we do here is I just know whether I can push or not push.
Mm-hmm.
I read immediately that they weren't too cool.
There was
with
no
that
eye contact at all going on during that whole thing, and
And I'm not saying they're assholes or anything else. I liked it. I had a great time with that. Good people, good beer, good interview.
Yeah.
But I sensed immediately that that topic was going nowhere.
For sure.
So.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It wouldn't do well in a court of law when you were like, oh yeah, I do that because I think it's funny and I can get away with murder.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I kind of, well, not that anyone's suing them, God forbid.
That's right. Anyway, Glenn.
All right, Glenn. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
I liked your email, Glenn. All right, and then Steve from Pembroke Pines, Florida.
What do you got to say, Steve?
Pembroke Pine. Sounds like some place you retire,
definitely a retirement home. That's definitely not into euthanasia. Yeah.
JP, did you read the brochure I got you for Pembroke Pines?
Oh, I did.
This is Taryn.
Very lovely.
Like when he's ready to go to the home.
It was a 28-weight paper. It was very lovely.
Did you see how many activities they have?
Oh, this is when I'm ready to go home.
Yeah. There's a lot of activities at Pembroke Pines.
Have I downloaded my show?
You know what the move is? Have you seen that? The move is to permanently go on a cruise when it's retirement time.
Have you read this?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you can pretty much take care of yourself, you get better food, better service. Like if you're in an old folks like apartment and your light bulb goes out on the porch, you're lucky that gets fixed like this year.
Yeah.
You ring service on a cruise ship and they're there within minutes. And then you get all the food, and then you meet all the people, and it's like the same price because these old folks' homes aren't cheap.
It's not cheap. Yeah. No, Taryn works for one, and they do like cognitive, you know, development and stuff like that, and they help you with Alzheimer's or whatever. But it's $2,500 sometimes.
It's ridiculous,
depending on what your level of service that you need.
Right.
Yeah.
So until I start mine, which is where it's all drugs and sex and like a gnarly retirement home.
Dirty old man.
Yeah, called Horny Hills.
Yes.
Bad grandpa.
All right.
Retirement.
Penis broke Pines.
Penis broke is goddamn right. Yeah.
Until then, cruise ships are the
move.
That's
right. Here's your weekly supply of Blue Chew, and here's your weekly supply of penicillin.
That's right.
Go at it.
You know that they have testosterone things that they put like in your, not in your butt, but like under your skin.
Hell yeah.
To like if you're so when you get older, if your libido start, you know, you,
like
you're
implant?
Not like producing. Yes, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. But you went to not in your butt.
Because the person who was telling me about it was like, yeah, they put it in my butt. And I was like, what? But just like in the cheek.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, does it have to be like down there? Like, does it work better when it's...
He kept pointing there. He was saying...
Maybe because it's closer to your prostate?
Maybe.
And that's why?
Crosleys don't have this problem.
No.
My dad is like 70 years old. I bet you he has more testosterone running through him than anybody in this room.
I thought he was like shooting up in his dick or something.
Yeah, but that's different.
No.
That does, I think
testosterone versus boners.
Testosterone would be more like your drive.
Yeah,
I think he does the boner needle, but anyway, I don't think testosterone is a Crosley worry.
No.
Among other things. Steve from Pembroke Pines says, hey guys, as a home brewer, I'm always looking for ways to shorten my brew session. The latest version of my podcast app, TuneIn, now includes the ability to speed up podcasts. After some experimentation, I have found that 1.5 times normal speed is perfect for listening to the session, especially when JP is hosting.
Oh, no.
Apparently,
cheers,
I talk slower.
Steve.
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
I talk pretty slow, I feel like.
That's the, I mean, I know he's,
this has been going
like
on for
funny.
Years, by
for
the way.
Sure,
people,
but,
since we started making this a podcast, have told me, oh, God, yeah, I never listened to you on normal speed.
No, it's weird to hear your voice
kind of
slow down.
I don't listen to anything on normal speed. Like, audiobooks, I always do 1.5.
Really?
Yeah.
I never,
YouTube
I would
videos,
never
1.5. I'm not trying to sit there all day.
I would never do that because it's a lot of the pacing is part of the presentation of of an audiobook.
Also, I can hardly pay attention as it is to anything.
Yeah.
If you speed it up, like when I read, like a real book, not the one you listen to.
All right, boomer.
Man.
You lost me.
There,
can't relate.
Yeah. There are times when I have to read the same page like five times.
Please.
And
yes,
it's not that
dude.
I'm not reading. Like, I read. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
But then I'll realize.
You didn't absorb any of it.
You were just somewhere else fucking entirely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Like, how
problem.
Is it that I keep reading? But I'm not, like, why would, it would make more sense if you stopped reading because your mind went elsewhere?
Yeah.
That's not what happens.
No.
I think it's ADD.
I definitely don't know. ADD.
I think we're all getting this because we spend such tiny minutes on all the things that our brains need to think about. And we're just, like, trying to do.
You know how they used to put fluoride in the water?
Yeah.
That's, like, to help our teeth?
Mm.
They ought to just start putting Adderall in the water because we're all ADD.
Mm. Yep.
You know? Just put it in the water. Fuck it. It'll be fine. You want to get people to drink water?
Yeah, that's right.
put some Adderall in there. All right, Steve.
Yeah, but I don't know why particularly when I'm hosting. Because he can get through it faster because it's annoying. Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know either. But it's not a compliment, whatever it is.
No, it's definitely not a compliment.
It's not like, oh, JP's voice is more soothing at 1.5 times. It's either that you're slower or you suck.
I suck.
Right.
I don't think I'm any slower.
I think both of you guys are
going
to be like shrill. You're going to sound like me.
That could happen. What do you sound like at 1.5 times? Yeah. Right. What if we do this show talking real fast?
Oh.
And then try to keep it 1.5 times.
Yeah, we throw them all up. Yeah. You would never know what to do.
Screw this up real loud.
Yeah.
I think you think that 1.5 speed is faster than it is. It's not that much faster.
Well, then what's the point?
It's like.
Listen to me in my natural, silky, smooth.
Yeah.
That's right, Justin.
Okay, we can really do this either way.
Yeah, if you want to play ball with us. Now we're all emo Phillips right now. Well, I think that the reason.
Where's that guy? Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's still doing shows with like
really?
Tom
with
Green.
With the same shtick?
I don't know if it's the same shtick, but I would definitely go see emo Phillips. I like emo Phillips.
You were a fan?
Sure.
All right. I got to get us to a break. What a long segment.
I've cut my finger. Yeah, let's get out of here. We're done for the show.
All right. Yeah, thanks to our guests today.
Flatland.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Flatland Brewing Company out of Elk Grove, California. Hang in there. It's The Session. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're tuned into The Session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
Welcome back to The Session, and thank you for hanging out with us today. Hey, go check out the Beersmith homebrewing software. You get a free 21-day trial. Just go to beersmith.com. Check it out. Works on all the computers that you need it to. Does more things than you need it to. And I promise you, you won't find a better piece of brewing software out there. But you don't have to take my word for it. Just go get your free 21-day trial at beersmith.com. All right, as promised, we've got Flatland Brewing Company from Elk Grove, California in the studio. And, oh man, I just did it. I just pronounced your name at the break. And Andrew Mosenzadegan.
Nailed it.
Is it it?
Yeah, that's it. Mosenzadegan.
What's the background of that
Persian.
Name?
Persian. Yeah, my dad's 100%.
Okay. Yeah, got it.
My mom is just white.
Just okay.
Yep, yep.
Got it. Yeah, because you don't look 100% Persian.
No, I'm.
You look hairy like a Persian.
I got that. Yeah, my nickname is Brubaka.
Okay. Yep, nice.
Yep.
Very nice.
There's a beer name, Fiverr.
Yeah, right. I would love that.
And you go by Andrew, not Andy.
You can call me anything really, but Andrew is probably the most fitting.
Okay. Yeah. And you are the founder. You and your wife.
Yes, Michelle.
And the brewmaster, or
I don't. We don't like titles.
You don't.
Yeah, I mean, if I were to do something around the brewery, it'd probably be that.
It would be that.
Yeah.
But you don't do anything?
No.
Good. Can you imagine, like, the cops call up and they go, yeah, can we speak to the owner? And it's Andy going, well, I mean, we don't really, it's not really, who are you? I mean, I answered the phone, I work here, what can I help you with?
Right.
Well, you know, we have a problem, the thing is on fire.
Sorry,
get the owner.
Said,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
That's the best way out, though. Think about it. It's like, ah, it's not me.
I do that all the time around here, actually.
Yeah.
Around the hop grenade. They're like, can we speak to the owner? Sure. I don't know where he is.
Yeah, I'll try to find him for you. Hold on.
Yeah, good luck. And then we're also joined by, this one should be fairly easy, Max Sant.
Yep, easy.
And you are a brewer.
I am, yes.
The brewer, the only brewer there.
We're trying to pin you guys down. Come on.
I do a lot.
Let's go.
You guys I started Taproom 4 years ago almost at this point.
Okay.
And I'd say 2 years ago, technically assistant brewer.
Got it.
But I got to make sure production happens. So yeah, brewer.
Sure. I see. Now, production... I'm reading my notes.
Yeah.
Production is a 3-barrel brew house, is that right?
Well,
you started with a 1-barrel brew
what
house.
What is a barrel?
Right.
Really? I mean, we don't really measure anything.
Right. What is a brew house?
Yeah.
Well, so that's a good question. Is what is a brew house? So we're totally weird, and we don't have necessarily a fancy brew house or any fancy equipment. So everything is kind of thrown together. So we started with a 1-barrel brewery. I bought a homebrew supply store in Elk Grove, and it had a 1-barrel brew kit, kind of ready to go, needed some work.
Okay.
And we quickly grew out of that within
the
first.
Of course.
Yeah, as expected.
I mean, how often were you brewing on that in the beginning?
Well, it didn't last long. So, I mean, I killed myself to make beer for opening. And then after opening, we had 2 beers left over.
I see.
I'm like, okay. So we need to do something different.
Yeah.
But he had equipment for a kind of larger system. So I had a 10-barrel mash tun, kind of a rectangular dairy tank.
Okay.
And then we have a 3-barrel kind of cylindrical kettle.
Okay.
So we triple batch everything, and it's even more bizarre because we do one mash. So we grain in heavy, you know, almost 800 pounds. We've done up to 1500.
Okay.
And then it's awful.
Yeah,
and
sounds like it.
We do 3 pulls off of it, so high gravity, mid gravity, low gravity.
Okay.
Adding grain somewhere in between to kind of balance it out. And then we water back to get to, we brew high gravity and then water back to get to final volume and gravity.
Well, that's not confusing at all.
That's
no.
That's not a lot of work. Or
it's
titles?
A pain in the ass is what it is.
Well, it is. Our brew days are minimum 12 hours for triple batch, sometimes up to 15. They used to be much longer.
Wow. So you obviously opened your business on a budget. You didn't want to go into a bunch of debt or something?
Yeah. No, well, yes.
Okay.
All of that.
Yeah.
So we bought the business for just about $30,000. And that's all we had. And that was everything we had.
Got it.
My dad was like, here's an extra $5,000 just kind of for capital.
Yeah.
And we needed that just for opening for glassware and all the things that we didn't think about.
Man, you go through $5,000 in like 5 minutes in this business.
Well, especially nowadays. Yeah. Back then, it felt like a lot of money, you know,
right.
When you first opened, because that was a good portion of what we started with.
When is back then? When did you open?
January of 2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not even that far back.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it felt like for 100 years ago now.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. It's been
a
long time.
Yeah, you go through that fast. So that was your so your working capital when you opened, like your bank account was $5,000.
Yeah.
And you guys were like, shit, I hope people buy beer.
Yeah. And they showed up. It was pouring cats and dogs opening day. And I remember like, man, what the fuck are we doing?
Wow.
I don't know what we're doing here. My brother jumped in. He didn't know how to pour a beer. And my wife and I looked at each other and like, I think this is going to work. But
so you were packed gonna, when you opened
it. Was slammed. Yeah, okay. Yeah, absolutely. And it was like the worst day to open. But
why do
worked.
You think it? Why do you think you were packed? Because even in 2016, it's not like a new brewery in town is a novelty. What
well,
did you do?
So we're in Elk Grove, and I don't know if you know where that is, but it's
do,
kind of
yeah.
out in the middle of nowhere. And there was no other brewery around us. We're the first brewery in Elk Grove before, well, I say after Elk Grove Brewery closed. And they closed 10 years before we opened.
I see.
If that's not confusing.
No, I got it. Okay.
So, yeah, we were kind of like the new cool thing. And it's some, and Elk Grove doesn't really have a huge amount of things for adults to do.
Okay.
There's a lot of kids' activities and a lot of parks. But for drinking purposes, there was like one other spot, really.
I see.
And so, yeah, if a new thing opens up, people don't want to go check it out.
People are ready for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, that's smart. You know, Jamil was living in Elk Grove
yeah.
when he opened Heretic. You're lucky he chose Fairfield instead, right?
No,
he
I think
could have been that first brewery.
Oh, it would have been great. Either way.
Okay.
You know what's ironic is my aunt actually bought his house when he moved out to Fairfield.
Oh, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we go to this house.
What a
now,
small
like, oh.
world.
Yeah.
And you're like, is there still the... He had turned his shed into like a cold box in the back, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And now it holds like chairs and stuff.
Got it.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
But they're really cold chairs.
That's right. Yeah.
So, all right. So you open and then you're busy right off the bat, but then you run out of beer right
yeah.
off the bat.
Yeah. And what's disappointing, I mean, we had a lot of issues, I think, opening up. One, not having enough beer, not having enough seating, not having the money to actually build out the place like we wanted to.
Hmm.
And so people would come in and be like, oh, I heard about you guys. And they'd come in and be like, oh, you have two beers on.
Right.
And they're not styles that people were excited about, you know, like.
Why? Because it was stuff you wanted to do?
Well, it was the stuff that was left over.
Oh, good point. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So we had a Saison and an Amber, like an Imperial Amber.
An Amber, yeah.
Like,
everyone's like, I remember 2004.
Yeah. Yeah. You remember that?
They That's want their great. Amber back.
Right. Yeah. That has died.
Okay.
So we were like, okay, we need to start doing things that are going to make cool beers and exciting and keep things relevant and keep people here. And IPAs are definitely a part of that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you maybe lost a little bit of business during that transition? Like people were like, well, I'm not going right back there.
Well, the worst part was is not only that initial time, but that time lasted for a while. It was almost a full year. And it
because
was,
you just couldn't keep up.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. And then, you know, like the logistics of running a business while trying to brew everything and not having enough people to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So we lost a lot, honestly. So we're coming up on 4 years, and we're just now starting to get our stride again.
I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I'm surprised you made it. I mean, that sounds like a kind of a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
You're like, no, I'm thankful every day.
Yeah. Well, you know, we always think about like, man, how did we do this? Like we look back and you come to the brewery and it's still not like super fancy, but no brew house or anything. But you look at it and like, wow, look, how do we even get this far?
Right.
And it's all from people, you know, $6 at a time, really.
Was your wife working full time somewhere else during this
yes.
period too?
Okay. Health insurance, kids insurance, all of it, and still working full time.
And you, but you're full time at the brewery because you have to.
Yeah, yeah, since
but,
day one.
But probably not really taking much home for this
no,
period
no,
of time.
No, God, no. There's the goal of like, okay, one day we can make enough to where she doesn't have to work and she can focus on the business with me. She can do CFO jobs and stuff like that. Because running the business and doing everything that we're trying to do, back of house, front of house, it's difficult.
You it's
know?
A lot of
there's
work,
not yeah. enough time in the day to do it all.
No, you're right.
And it's only Mac and I in the back of house.
Okay.
And then it's only really, I mean, we have how many people now? Six people in the tap room now.
Just about, yeah.
Okay.
So they have rotating schedules and stuff like that. But, man, it started out with...
What's your wife's name?
Michelle.
Is Michelle now full-time at the brewery, too, or still...
No. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still plugging away.
Yeah. So here's the grim outlook for anybody who wants to open a brewery. So we went down to part-time. So she was like, oh, I feel good about it. I feel good about it. Let's make the financial decision to do that. And it didn't work.
Oh,
and so she had to go back to full-time. And it's been hard, you know, just mentally prepared to kind of do what you need to do. And I needed the help. So I was looking for the help on the brewery side. And unfortunately, it just didn't happen financially. But
you know, I appreciate your being honest about this because we do joke and kind of say this on the show all the time. As soon as homebrewers say, "Oh, I'm going to go pro," you'll hear Jamil say it. You don't do it. It's the worst thing. We say that, but it's real. And I meet more. I don't know if struggling is an offensive word to you,
no.
But I meet more struggling entrepreneurs in this business than I do the ones that are buying Teslas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that it's not possible. Clearly, it is possible, but it's really very difficult, and the margins can be extremely difficult to work with. And I'm just saying, it's good to hear a person actually say it so that our listeners can know we're not just fucking around when we say this, how difficult this could be.
Yeah, and honestly, growth also hurts, right?
Yeah.
So we needed to grow, but we, one, couldn't afford it. And then when you could afford it, you realize that you need many more things than you thought you needed. So then that one, you say, you know, $10,000 item now turns into $40,000. And then you need manpower to handle all that.
You know, the best interview I think we've done that covers exactly what you're talking about is Tony McGee.
Sure.
The Lagunitas interview. Yeah. Because you look at that brewery and you're like, well, how are you not? You guys have been making money hand over fist for years. And he's like, no, 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 no. That's not how it goes. Because you bring money in, and if you don't grow, you're fucked. Your wife can't quit her job. You can't get more employees, so all the money goes back. And then the length of time from when you spend the money to when you get it back is longer than anybody thinks.
Sure.
Even on one brew. Like, never mind investing in equipment. But even on one brew, by the time you've paid for the ingredients to get there, brewed, fermented, sold the batch... What are we talking?
Almost 60 to 90 days, really.
Oh, easily.
Yeah. I mean, I just gave a talk at UC Davis to a bunch of intro to brewing kids, you know. And that was, like, the point of what I was saying. You know, I went through all the stuff, like, how do we build a brewery? And then I was like, but, you know, here's the facts.
Here's the numbers.
And every time you grow, that just gets worse. Like, as you increase your production, you're still outlaying all that capital.
Right.
And you're not going to make it back for 3 months if everybody paid on time.
Right.
Which doesn't always happen. So it's...
And here's the problem.
Hard.
With so many craft breweries opening up, people find this hard to believe. So in other words, we can say it in this room until we're blue in the face.
Oh,
and people will be like, really? Because there's like 1,000 breweries opening up a day. It must be fine. It must work.
Money grab, right? Let's do it. Let's open a brewery.
Yeah, but there's 800 closing. Like, there's a lot that are closing.
Right now, in particular.
There isn't nearly as many that are closing as it seems like there should be because, you know, I know the brewer that Andrew is and his brewery, how awesome it is. You know, I know who we are. You know, I'm not trying to say we're awesome, but
awesome.
I know how hard we're all working, and it's still so hard to make money. And
so, what's your goal? Do you want to be a large regional brewery? Do you want to be a neighborhood brewery? What do you have envisioned for the future?
Yeah. So again, titles, right? I don't know if I have a title in mind of what we want to do, but we have a barrelage capacity that I want to stop at, and so 1,000 barrels is the kind of like, okay, we can get there and we can do it. And the goal in life is to be profitable and sustainable, and then have a constant source of revenue, right?
And when you've crunched these numbers, the 1,000 barrels is your sweet spot to fulfill these things?
In our facility, with our current expenses, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that can... Because right now, we're about to hit 500 barrels, so we're very, very tiny.
Nice,
right?
Okay.
But you're
halfway there.
We're halfway there.
Your glass is half full.
See? Whoa!
Literally and figuratively, yeah. So, I think if we hit 1,000 barrels, one, it gives us enough beer to move out to the market, sell in bottle and can, which is our new sort of like revenue source.
Okay.
And also hit the tap room pretty hard.
I see. Okay.
So,
and you think you can do that on the equipment that you have now?
Yeah. So,
it just would be a pain in the ass.
Yeah. I mean, imagine doing double what we do now.
Look, so, I'm looking at Mac right now. I don't know if you can see his face on the video.
I'm going to need a few more beers to be able to hit 1,000 barrels this year.
He's like, 1,000 barrels, ouch.
So the most simple solution would be to buy a beer kettle, right?
Yeah.
And so if you buy a 10-barrel kettle, you can do one-to-one mash to boil and then knock out in a 10-barrel fermenter. So we have 5 10-barrel fermenters, a 7, 2, 8, a 3.
So at some point in this growth period to 1,000, you'll go, all right, we better sock away the money for a kettle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
Anniversary's coming up, so I'm kind of, you know, hoping for that. But
you're like, every birthday, don't get me presents, send cash.
Yeah, even if it's $20, anybody wants to donate, please.
Send that card. Grandma's still sending that $5 birthday card. I'll take it.
Yeah, our birthdays are one day apart. I'm the 4th next month. He's the 5th. And so, you know, a nice birthday present for the brewery, anyone listening
is
right
a kettle.
Be,
we should do a campaign.
Nice PayPal address is...
Yeah. The Brewing Network should do like a... You know, like a dream, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And get some of our bigger brewery friends to, like, buy into this thing. We'll give them a bunch of free promotion or something.
Okay.
All they have to do is, like, donate something to, like, one of our candidates, right? Like, have this, like, handful of growing breweries.
Like,
and, like, it just shows up one day with, like, a ribbon on it. and then Andrew has a heart attack because he can't believe it.
With a big giant check.
It's good
big,
radio.
Giant, oversized check.
It's good podcast right there.
Yeah, I'll gladly begin it big on that if you want to start
test
that.
Test it out on you.
Yeah.
The key is it's $1,000 buy-in from you guys if you want to be considered.
Just to be considered,
yes.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll save my pennies.
But we'll take it in beer.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we trade.
Yeah.
We'll call it the Make a Beer Foundation.
There we go. This is what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. All right, Mac.
Yes.
Tell me about this beer in my glass called Pilsner-ish.
Ooh, Pilsner-ish. I can't even tell you what batch number of this beer this is.
You've done a lot.
2.5 years ago was when we first brewed it, or what was it?
Longer than that.
2.5, 3 years ago?
Okay.
Well, sorry to cut you off, Mac. Before we go there, I'll say I've been trying to make a great German-style Pilsner since I started homebrewing.
Yes.
And now we don't have tank space to do that.
Okay.
So we make Pilsner-ish, which is a Cal Ale version of a Pilsner. And then this is even far off of that because this is using all Simcoe.
Oh, I see. Just for fun, you just wanted to try some of Simcoe? Yeah.
It's weird.
Okay, so you don't have the tank space to lager.
Right.
That's your deal. But normally this would have been a full-on Pilsner recipe. Noble hops, Pilsner malt.
Yeah, and I'll let Mac answer that one.
But with Cal Ale.
Yeah, so Pilsner-ish, it's not a Pilsner, but it is an ish of a Pilsner, but it is a blonde ale. This originally started off, we've used a mix of anywhere from Pilsner and Two Row to just Pils to just Two Row. We started off, I want to say the first batch was American Sterling.
Okay.
And that is a batch that picked up Best of Show at the State Fair a few years ago.
Nice.
It took Golden Blonde, and then it took Best of Show overall, so we were pretty stoked on that one.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is probably 8th-plus time you brewed this beer.
Do you change it just so you guys aren't bored? Because that sounds like a winner. Why wouldn't you just stick with that?
We don't always rebrew the same beer. We can have a beer that picks up an award, and we're like, no, let's do something else.
Got it.
We have so many ingredients and hops just to use. We're like, we're a small enough batch still.
Yeah.
We can still play around with it, and that's kind of what we're known for.
And the market kind of, like, it's good for that. Like, everyone just wants the next new thing anyway right now, right? So. Okay. So you'll go based on your ingredients, and you go, fuck it, we have a bunch of Simcoe, let's try this one.
And our Simcoe right now, we were using it in
this
a couple different
nice
West Coasts. And he's like, dude, let's do 100% Simcoe.
Yeah.
Damn, let's do it.
No cat pee in this one at all. That's a nice Simcoe.
No, I feel like Simcoe kind of turned away from that cat piss.
I'm about to publish a Hop and Brew School podcast where Vinny tells the story of saving Simcoe. Like, this family farm was about to go out of business because nobody gave a shit about Simcoe. And Vinny came in and was like, I love this hop. And literally saved this family farm by buying it, because once he did it, everyone's like, oh, fucking Vinny did it. But anyhow, point is, in that podcast, he talks about the different picking windows of Simcoe and how they affect the cattiness and some of the other qualities of it. And you might be right, but they now maybe have, like, figured out, just pick it at this window.
Yes, just do it.
So, yeah, that's nice Simcoe you got in there.
And this wasn't even, like, true, like, Pils malt or just Two Row. This is
Pure Idaho from Great Western.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So is that a Pilsner malt?
It is a Pilsner malt, technically, but it's a low kiln. Well, I guess, I don't know. It's not. It doesn't have the grassy sort of snap that Pilsner does.
Okay.
So it's, in my mind, very Two Row, but with more character, but still being really light, clean. And we were talking about earlier, it's like the lautering capabilities of it are much more brilliant. It's just easier to work with, all in all.
Okay.
And price point's about the same as any other Two Row. So you're not paying, you know, the boats to come over here to pay for a German Pilsner.
That's smart.
Yeah, but we do use German Pilsner in a lot of other things, too. So we do pay the boats. But
is this one of your most popular beers, I assume?
Yeah, you know, it isn't. So we sell a lot of it. Of course, popularity contests are based on IPAs, but we probably sell more of this beer consistently throughout the year than of any other thing that we have.
Okay.
Elk Grove is still very blue collar, and people work hard, and they want a cold pine out at the end of the day.
Sure.
And so this is one of those that they go to.
Okay.
But for me, it's not, we just caked this morning, so it's not the clearest example of what it'll be, but in another week from now, it'll be perfect.
Got it. So do you usually wait for it to clarify in the tank before you would serve it?
Yeah, 100%.
You do?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's usually brilliantly clear.
You put it in a bright tank and just wait?
No, that costs money. So unit tank is perfect, and I think just enough time dropping and getting it clear enough.
No finings?
Biofine clear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a vegan-friendly biofine, which I don't know what that means, but
me neither.
Yeah,
it's no little calves were harmed in the
right.
It's, yeah, it's marketing, and that's all you need.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But then we throw calf hooves in it anyway.
Sure, just to fuck with
that's
it.
Your mash paddle.
Yeah,
it's a big,
The mash paddle is actually a cow leg. Yeah. The whole thing.
Yeah,
it's good for two or three batches. That's about it.
Easily
move on to the next one.
Yeah,
and then you feed it to the veal that you have in the cage.
Yeah.
Don't give away all our secrets, Teresa.
I'm so proud of you guys. Processes.
All right, and what about this other beer in our glass?
Well, I want to ask a question about the Pilsner.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Why? And I don't, you know, well, maybe I'm going to be an asshole. Why call it a Pilsner-ish? Why not call it a blonde ale?
So,
if it's not a Pilsner at all, is it? And what I mean by that is, are people confused? Do they go, oh, this isn't a Pilsner? And do you get, like, some going, people, go, like, because I would go, well, that's not, I don't understand what's going on.
There's definitely some confusion in that sometimes.
Yeah.
Back when I was working taproom, I think I kind of don't care.
Like with a good thing, right? You're like, it doesn't matter. It's just a name. Who cares?
And a lot of people actually get it. They're like, Pilsner-ish.
I feel like ish covers everything. Yeah. Ish allows you to do anything you want.
Yeah, but I feel
JP,
like Pilsner...
I'm going to give you a raise-ish.
Oh, fuck, I love
it. Covers
that.
My bases entirely.
But I'm going to get a raise.
Ish.
We're not getting a Pilsner.
right? Yeah.
And so I don't know if it matters. Maybe the only assholes like me.
So this batch, or this beer, we would actually... This one wasn't fermented as cold as we used to ferment it. Mm. So fermenting Cali Ale colder, we kind of get... Pilsner-esque qualities.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a little smoother and whatever.
A little bit colder ferment, less ester profile. Hmm. This one, I'd have to say, is probably the warmest ferment we've had in this beer yet, but we also wanted to create more of a blonde ale this time.
And if this was, if this was a batch that had even the Sterling hops or some kind of noble hop too, you too would have gone, okay, Pilsner-ish.
Yeah,
honestly, the base beer of this recipe is very Pilsner-like because it is snappy, typically Pilsner malt, Weyermann Pilsner malt. And then we use Czech Saws or Sterling, which is an American version of Czech Saws, right? Isn't that? I believe so.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and so it has a lot of noble-like qualities, and it has that Pilsner-like snap on the back end.
Yeah.
The only thing that has that Pilsners don't is a little bit more yeast ester. But, I mean, this beer is fermented at typically 62 to 64. So Cali Ale likes to stress out a little bit. You get a little bit of sulfur production during that process, a little bit of lagering time afterward. Mm-hmm. And again, this is not the greatest example of that because it's not lagered.
Yeah, I am with JP on this one that this iteration I would have called a blonde ale. Even if I kept the name Pilsner-ish, underneath it, the description would have been blonde ale.
Yeah, and
it is blonde ale.
It is, yeah.
Oh, well, there we go.
That's what we do.
Problem solved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it say that on my menu board,
it sure
too?
It does, yeah.
Oh, see, dummy.
How about that?
And the only reason I asked it that way is because I know you guys listen to the show, so I didn't feel like super being aggressive in a funny way was going to be, I was going to get swung on.
No.
Well, no, hey, so JP, honestly, I expected more, so keep it coming. Cause
well, fuck you!
We're not done yet.
Well, your Persian-ass bullshit. Yeah. Fucking over there, probably jelking somewhere.
Because everything else they brought is a hazy IPA double or triple.
I know, I saw it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be done early tonight.
I'm kidding. Not everything else they brought. But the next one we have in our glass
certainly is a hazy, yeah.
Is it a double IPA?
It is, yeah. So it's 8%. Galaxy Citra, really easy drinking.
It smells good.
Beer.
It smells so good.
It smells like an Orange Julius.
Yeah, Galaxy and Citra is a great combo.
Yeah.
It tastes
a little like an Orange Julius.
Yeah, so we have a beer on right now called Tang It, and it's actually made with Tang and vanilla and Motueka and Comet, so you get that Orange Julius impression.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a hazy IPA and we call it a creamsicle.
Sounds
IPA.
Good.
Yep. And it tastes just like Orange Julius. It's phenomenal, yeah.
I bet that goes into the smoothie machine or the
slushy
machine.
We have a slushy machine that...
you do?
Oh, my God, people love it.
I hear that's like big
thing,
in Portland
dude.
Right now.
Well, sure,
it always
of
starts.
Yeah,
it always starts in Portland. That and making your own butter.
But not from cows.
These slushy drinks. Ooh, you guys do slushy? Do you slushy beer?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So we found a pretty good ratio of beer to juice or some sort of sweetening agent to it. Because if it's just straight beer, we've done straight stouts or sours, and it just magnifies all yeah. those characters, and it's just bitter and roasty, and it's not pleasant.
Okay.
But with some juice or some lactose, or we've been doing coffee creamer. Honestly, that's
we
good.
Do everything.
Wow, yeah.
Like, it turns into like some really magical sort of juice, and like, man, what is this thing? And, you know, we sell for pretty cheap, and it flies out the door, and people
I
love
bet.
It.
That's, yeah. that's smart.
Yeah.
I have smoothies for breakfast. I could switch to a beer
yeah.
icy or whatever.
Yeah, but can you?
Yeah.
Should you?
Why not? I probably shouldn't. No. yeah. I keep drinking earlier and earlier yeah. in the day. As I get older. Tell us more about this beer in our glass.
Okay, so the name is I Lost a Trophy in Long Beach. And
okay.
So there's a story. It's based on a true story.
Tell us this. did you lose the trophy to Teresa?
No, actually, okay. she won the trophy.
That's why I thought maybe it was about that. Yeah.
So I'm vice president of the Sacramento Air Brewers Guild. And,
you are?
Yeah.
I did not
yeah.
know that. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And
no worries. good for you.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, right, sure. So... We got Sacramento Brewers Guild of the Year, or Brewers Guild of the Year won this trophy, right? Got this big old chalice, really cool, at the California Craft Brewers Cup. I'm having a hard time. I'm nervous.
So yeah, of all of the California
great.
Guilds, the Sacramento Guild won Guild of the Year.
Guild
is that what you're
year.
Saying?
Okay. Yeah,
yeah. We won the most awards for the Sacramento area. So we got this,
I see.
Yeah, we got the cup.
Okay.
Yeah. And
had the cup.
Yeah, well,
Max yeah. like had.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's based on Teresa. I think you guys won 7 during that competition.
Yeah.
And so that was, I mean, heavily based on Teresa. But
did anybody else pull their weight?
70 right. other awards with
okay.
the Sacramento Brewers.
Okay.
So, yeah, we all pulled our weight. But she definitely carried the carried.
Yeah.
So for some reason, I was obligated to carry this trophy around.
Oh, no.
I'm fairly responsible, but not entirely responsible.
Sure, and especially after a night of celebrating.
Well, that's exactly what it was. So.
And there was so many beers that were poured into the cup.
Oh, of
and
course.
Then we all were drinking yeah. out of the cup.
Disgusting, but fun.
And don't forget the tiki fun. Drinks.
Oh, into the cup?
Tiki slushies.
It's a big cup. It's probably 40 ounces. So
oh,
we're drinking
okay.
40 ounces of tiki drinks all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it gets passed around. Every area of brewery that I see, I'm like, hey, you got to drink this.
Right.
Drink this. Taking videos, having a good time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it comes around at 1:45 in the morning, and we're all hungry and, you know, just absolutely blitzed.
Yeah.
And 7-Eleven is right there. I'm like, okay, we can probably make some 7-Eleven food work. And my wife and I were like, gosh, my body hates me already. If I eat 7-Eleven yeah. now, I'm not gonna wake up.
I'm gonna go have a 7-Eleven pig in a blanket.
Yeah, the best decision at 1:45 in the morning after being drinking all day.
Oh my God.
Said I'm going back to the hotel at this point.
I'd rather eat out of the hotel vending machine at that point than that greasy roller food.
The right. Rolling hot.
But so we ended up buying some greasy burritos. We had about 8 or 9 of us there, and everybody bought something that was totally not worth it.
Yeah.
And then my wife and I find like this refrigerated section of like this fresh kind of food.
Oh, yeah.
Take a masala and chicken Alfredo. So we get that, and we put it in the microwave and walk out, and there's like this crazy homeless group of like 16 to 18-year-old kids out there, like... We thought we were going to get robbed and whatever else. So we go back to the hotel, and I realize that I have my tikka masala in my hand and not the trophy.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, son of a bitch.
Well, that is the important. I mean, if you find a good tikka masala, you all hang on to that shit.
Drop
you said
everything
good,
else.
Though. This is 7-Eleven we're talking about.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, gut wreck. So we have to go back. So we go back, and we're with Dave from Original Pattern. He's a sales guy. They're super cool, dude. And he's like, don't worry, dude. I live in Oakland. We deal with homeless all the time. I guarantee one of these guys took it. So he puts a $5 bill in his hand, like waving around, like, hey, guys, you guys seen this trophy? It looks like this. Like,
wow.
Making pictures. He's like, no, I've never seen it. No, I haven't seen it. And one guy started talking a little bit. I felt like we're like looking for a missing child or like some Seinfeld skit. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, this doesn't seem right at all.
Yeah, but you have to.
Well, it's a $140 trophy, and it has all of Sacramento's pride in it.
Oh, also, it's like the first one ever, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is
so,
the first one.
Yeah, so you're like, I can't be this guy.
Right. But I turned out to be that guy, and so, it is gone. And like, we asked the 7-Eleven clerks, like, hey, have you seen this? Like, no.
Oh, no.
So we figured we had to make something hazy because the entire night was hazy and like an homage to the trophy.
Wait. It never came back?
No, it was gone.
It didn't have any monetary value, right? Like, why would they take it? And not get, like take the $5
nice.
Or something.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe
right?
they were drinking out of it. They were like,
right.
"This is our new
chalice." Yeah,
whatever was the lining in that trophy that made it look gold is now in our guts. Yeah, it was right. All like
it just came out.
Yeah.
So you are that guy.
I am. I never thought I'd be here, but here we are.
What did the California Brewers Guild have to say about all
well,
this?
Well, so I went to our executive director. I did a little walk of shame up to her. And I'm like, hey,
oh, no, I can picture this.
Yeah. And yeah. She's like, getting ready to pour at our booth. And I'm like, hey, Mai, so I lost a trophy last night. And she gives me this look, like, doesn't say a thing. And just gives me this look, like, mom is really disappointed with you.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, God, it sucks. And then, you don't know if you know Lauren Zender from Mraz, well, previously from Mraz.
Yeah.
I told her right after, and she gave me the same exact look.
Everyone's so disappointed.
Like, oh, no, I'm a bitch. I did it.
Yeah.
So,
you know what, though? There is a certain level of disappointment, but at the same time, you celebrated enough that you would lose the trophy.
Yes.
And so there's also like a level, for me, because I'm this way, I'm like, but they really fucking loved that trophy.
Oh, yeah.
Because they celebrated so hard that it's gone. So there's props, too, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's where we're at now. I got over it. But I think the most ironic part of this whole story and situation is that it is it's so true for Sacramento to have something great for a short period of time and then lose it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, we were almost there.
Right.
We did.
Oh, my God. This is
everybody
Sacramento.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for those of you in the rest of the country, Sacramento does kind of have that thing. Like, you go to Sacramento, and you're like, this place is great. It's got a lot going for it. Great basketball team. Before.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's like, great hockey team. Before. And then, they're like, the downtown area is being revitalized. Kinda, almost.
Kinda. One day it'll be there.
Yeah, it's like always a step behind, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So this does make sense.
So it's just fitting.
That's yeah. I love this story.
Yeah. Well, it's so beautiful how after the trophy was lost and never recovered, like all the people just kept putting more photos. They're like, hey, I found this photo. I think this might be the last sighting of the trophy.
Oh,
and we're
my
all
God,
gathering
yeah.
around.
That's great. Yeah. That's all that exists.
I mean, honestly, that was better than the trophy.
Like, right. And then the California Brewers Guild, like, well, you have to pay for the new one. And you're like, I can't. I don't even have a kettle that I want right now.
Yeah, sorry. I'll get you after anniversary. I'll be able to pay for that.
I will whittle you a new trophy out of wood.
Steal the kid's piggy bank real quick.
In a twist, the trophy is the new kettle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, gotcha.
That's why I took my trophy and I put it in my hotel room and I closed the door.
Yeah.
Well, I should have done that.
You got to do these things.
Yeah.
I love the story, though.
So, yeah, the story.
Okay, so the beer is called I Lost the Trophy in Long Beach.
Yes.
And you wanted it to be like the night.
Yes.
Which is hazy.
Hazy, full of character and excitement.
Right.
And a little bit bitter.
yeah. It's got, a little of that.
Yeah.
No tiki masala in there.
No, or tiki drink. Mm-hmm. No, this is just hops on this one.
Thanks for the beer idea, though.
What's that? Yeah.
Thanks for the beer idea.
Tiki masala, yeah. I like this beer. It's actually... It's not that bitter at all. It's got that good hazy kind of smooth hop character, but without a lot of bite.
Yeah,
a bitter bite anyway.
Yeah, and we just caved. This is super fresh, and so it has that kind of raw hop bite a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we increased our salt profile, pretty heavy chloride, to see what it would do on this batch. And I feel like I taste that a little bit in a good way. If that were a thing, JP, don't look at me.
I'm sitting here just waiting for you guys to end this segment.
Okay. What does increasing the salt profile do in the water?
Well, it really rounds off the. Any harshness that would be there, it softens it up a little bit, but then you get that kind of salt with hop bite.
Yeah.
And I think that adds to the character of what these beers are typically missing for West Coast, if you compare it to West Coast IPAs. West Coast IPAs have a firm bitterness coming from hop character, right?
Yep.
You can get bitterness out of these beers out of other things. So I think hop bite plays a little bit, not like the hop bite that burns your throat. We don't want that.
Yeah.
But just like a little bit of like, you know, you can tell it's been heavily dry hopped. And then the salt profile kind of adds a little bit of that kind of mouthfeel texture, kind of not drying, but has like this pleasant chalkiness, if that's the thing, because I know obviously some of these beers are so chalky, they're unpleasant, but I think this is a level to where it's like, okay, I can go back for another sip.
Right.
It's not an undrinkable 8% beer.
I agree. Also, JP, I will bet you $5 right now that I can mention something that you love about this beer. That you love about it.
Okay. I don't have $5. I have $1. I have a one paper dollar.
We can go $1. All right, are you ready?
Yeah, hold on. I got it right here. Look at this. One paper dollar. My last paper dollar.
Here we go.
I'm going to blow you.
Do you have enough gas to get home?
I have plastic for that. It's fine. Go ahead. Let's see if we can do this.
It's 8%, and they actually call it a double IPA instead of an IPA. Where every other brewery on earth right now, 8% is a fucking IPA. That's America. They're like, IPA. And they actually call it what it is at 8%. It's a double IPA. Everybody else is double, right?
Right.
Is even beyond the threshold of what it should be.
Some breweries would call this a fucking pale ale.
Exactly. Yeah. That's my point. Yeah. Tell me you love that about this beer.
I enjoy it, sort of.
All right,
Thank you.
Can keep your dollar.
We can cut it in half. I'll split it. 50 cents?
In all seriousness, I can't tell you how many times there's a IPA quotation marks on my menu board that's 8.5%.
Yeah, that
like,
shit sucks. Dude.
That's like a normal, you guys call it what it, I'm agreeing with you that it's a double, that's a double IPA.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we, I don't know. So if there are rules at the brewery, I would say that alcohol is one of them, right? And so our hopping levels are pretty much all across the board. Sorry, JP, from pale ale to IPA to double IPA. I mean, they increase a little bit, but like a pale ale would be dry hopped at 3 pounds per barrel. A single at 3.5, maybe 4, a double at 4 to 5.
Okay.
And alcohol is pretty much the biggest factor of calling it what it is.
Yeah.
So we have a session IPA on right now at 5.3%, and I hate that term, but it's therapy session. It's going for like a child psychiatric sort of like therapy group.
Oh, that's
great.
Yeah,
so it's like a cool fundraiser thing too. But yeah, I mean, the biggest factor is that's 5.3, so that's a pale ale. The IPAs that we make are between 6 and 7, 8.
IPA.
Between 8 and 9 are double IPAs. Anything above that, I don't like, but yeah, I mean, those would be triples, I guess.
I like it. I think that that's a double IPA, but I just saying, very often 8% is like, well, that's an IPA now. You know.
Yeah, I think, well...
Teresa, what's your 8% beer called?
Oh, it's definitely a double.
You call it double,
yeah.
too?
Eight is my cutoff.
Okay.
And I try to brew IPAs. Like, I don't make a 7.9% IPA. I'd make a 7, maybe 7.5.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I do normally, like, a 7 and okay. 8. I avoid 9s like the plague. I don't know if you guys...
Yeah.
Ever make a 9% IPA?
What is 0.9 anything? Why do brewers ever do the 0.9? Did they just fuck up on the brew day?
No, I mean, you kind of have to... You actually have to call the alcohol percent within 0.2% of what it is.
I see.
So if you
is
really
it down to 0.2 now?
It's 0.2.
Okay. Mac, everything's fine.
You,
Mac, nothing. It's nothing to see here.
Yeah, not that you heard it from me.
Yeah,
I also have to go.
It's
no, I'm a numbers guy, so I want to make sure I'm like
right.
But I mean, you would call that 8%.
Right. Okay.
Honestly. Like,
but people don't. But
they,
some brewers list like, you know, 7.9.
Well, that's correct. 5.9. Because they were 7.7, and they went up to 7.9. You'd be like, oh, let's make it seem cooler.
I see.
Where
yeah.
I think we, yeah. I mean, we'd probably call it 7.7. We have a 7.8 on right now, and it's ain't nothing but a sea thing. It's a sea salt IPA, and it's a that's a weird percentage for us, and we try to avoid that percentage
for hazy 7%. Anywhere in the 7% range for hazies, we feel like is just like.
Because you either want it to be in the 6 or in the 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a West Coast range for us.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that's just me having too much respect for West Coast IPAs. I'm like, that's their territory. Let's keep that for them. Hazies can be lower alcohol and more drinkable. And then you have 8% doubles.
And
that
then you
have
the
thing.
Doubles.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think there's a home for... I don't know. That's just totally me. But yeah. I think kind of talking about styles. I mean, we can get a whole tangent about the evolution of beer. If you think about it, beer has always been evolving. Since its conception, since we started making beer, I mean, it started with porters and milds, and the, you know, milds were sour or not as sour as their bitters. Is that how it goes? Something like that. And then we transitioned to pilsners, you know, which are blonde beers, and then we transitioned to everything else that we have now. And so, for us, yeah, styles are there. Like I recognize them. I used to homebrew very stylistically and enter competitions, and do very stylistic beers, but. Nowadays, it's like, why?
You don't worry too much about it.
No, I really don't think about it.
And I don't think your consumers do either. So.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody really cares. Well, so a BJCP judge.
You said nobody, JP.
And that
yeah.
one
you're
guy.
Nobody.
And that
Damn
one
it.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, sorry, JP. But
no, it's fine. Because you're not wrong. And,
right.
that, and it sucks. For me personally, it just sucks.
Well, it's just the evolution of beer. And it's hard because there are very traditional styles that have not changed. And those beers are still there. But, like, the base concept of what beer is,
I mean,
is changing.
Yes. Yeah. And I somehow agree to getting drug into that whole argument. But and that's fine. When some breweries do that, that's totally fine. But the problem is when you get a market that's so hyper-saturated with people pushing boundaries that there are no traditional styles left for people like me, then it just makes me fucking bitter, and then I don't want to. And then I turn away from craft beer. The only beers I have in my fucking fridge right now, to be 100% honest, are Lucky Lager from 21st. Well, it's not from but Lucky Lager and Sierra Nevada.
Yeah.
That's it. Traditional styles. That's all I'm after. I don't want to explore whatever because I don't know what I'm going to get.
But here's something.
And it bothers me.
Here's something that we've never talked about within this argument.
Yeah.
And that is, you would not have a career if it weren't for this stuff. In other words, what the fuck would we still be talking about after 15 years if everybody was still just brewing classic styles all the time? So even when we're disagreeing, even when we're arguing about it, like literally the content that we have on this radio show is because of these things, because beer is evolving, because it's always evolving.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the Brewing Network would still exist. We would have had like a good 5-year run, and then we would have covered all the styles. And then Andrew would come in, and we'd be like, tell us about your mild again.
Yeah.
And it'd be the same. You see what I'm getting at? Mm-hmm. So as much as you hate it, there's for brewers, too, not just our career. But for brewers, I think it exists and are exciting because of this evolution.
Well, a lot of it, I'm sorry, JP, but a lot of it's consumer-driven, too, right?
Yeah.
So if you think about what kind of day and age we're in now where we've had social media take advantage of everything we do, it's you know, it's an obsession for a lot of people, it is taking over. And so people want picture-worthy beers, and I agree with JP, these beers aren't the most picture-worthy, but there's something nostalgic, there's something that triggers people that, like, oh, man, I really love this, I want to take a picture of this. Maybe to show off, maybe to be cool, but maybe the beer's really that good. You know, maybe you do want to.
And you know what? In some cases, I think it must be.
It has to be.
Otherwise, it wouldn't. And in fact, there are some fads that went away really quickly because the beer wasn't that good.
Right.
So in certain cases, like hazy beer, it's clearly that good sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, then Pilsner must be the best ever because Pilsner is making a giant comeback. So, actually,
agreed.
Our amber ales.
Agree. Oh, God, really?
Yes. Yeah, so
that
there's a lot of cycle going on.
Sure. And that's
so,
a good thing.
Yeah, and to your point, yes, I feel like we've even talked about this off air years and years ago. What do we do? I think all this stuff kind of changed. So now we have, you know, new breweries coming in that we can interview, not necessarily focusing on these type of beers, but it is a topic of conversation. But again, I don't care so much. I mean, I'm always going to be angry about fucking everything. But the problem, when it affects me mostly is
at the store.
I go to a bar,
understood.
And there's nothing that I want to drink because everybody's making these kind of beers.
Right.
But that's changing. Also, there are a lot of people brewing more traditional styles. If it's a pale ale and calmly hopped and proper gravity or whatever, you're fighting those that are like that now, that are actually like to the style instead of session IPAs.
Like Grenadier that we did with Firestone Walker, for example.
Right.
Our
That's
Pale 31 clone, which I just bought at Safeway yesterday. I guess.
Yes.
So
that's always been really my hatred, is that like the popularity of these beers force the beers that I enjoy off the menu, so then I don't go anywhere.
So I'm just saying the next time you're feeling angry inside as you're buying the beer at the store, remember that you can afford to buy that beer because of all the other shit beers that people are buying.
That's right. That's
and
a good
because we
a
have
good,
a show
a
because of it.
That's true.
That's I'm helping.
If you are helping.
I feel like
let me lay down on the couch first.
Yeah, yeah.
If you go to a beer bar and all they have is hazy IPAs, like they're. You should tell the beer buyer. Like,
Eric doesn't listen to me. Eric doesn't listen.
I agree.
I'm kidding.
I told you, Pasuti, I came into your bar one day, and there were 13 IPAs on or some fucking thing. I was like, Teresa.
That's never happened.
Maybe eight.
You went to Crooked Lane? Yeah. She's like, we only have five taps.
It was, whatever it was ridiculous, and I said it to you. I was like, Teresa, I'm not the complainer.
That was probably the first time that it ever happened.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Your luck.
I'm stunned.
Yeah. I see. I do have that luck.
Apparently, you have to come back. Yeah. I've got like 5 fucking loggers on right,
let's go right now.
I'm not crashing my RV on Crooked Lane again. I'm never coming back. I got to get us to a break.
Yeah. Let's do it. Can I say one thing real quick?
No.
Just based on that. Sorry, JP.
Yeah.
That's curation, I think. I think that is up to the beer buyer to say, hey, I want to go to this one brewery. I think Urban Roots in our area makes some of the best lagers in the region.
Uh-huh.
Crooked Lane, definitely. So if I were owning a beer bar, I would say, okay, I want a hazy IPA from these guys because everyone does something very well. I want a hazy IPA from these guys. I want a Pilsner from these guys. I want a Doppelbock from these guys.
Yeah.
And I want a Stout from these guys.
Right. I agree with you. And I think there was a moment in time, at least around here, where that wasn't happening because the customer demand for hazy beers was so high. Just the same way that breweries had to brew it to make money, beer bars had to do it to make money. That's right. What people wanted.
All business.
But we noticed that in Sacramento for a while.
But yeah. it is shifting a lot. So I think that the hype is sort of calming down, and people are like, oh well, like brewers, I need a fucking shift beer, dude. What am I going to do?
Well, I think
so
that it's simultaneously lagers are coming back, even as hazies are still climbing.
Yeah, it's peeling back a little bit, but there's more variety floating back to the surface now. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
As I have a fridge full of Celebration, which is 6.8% IPA. Right. Two things that I fucking hate. But
I already drank all of my Celebration that I brought back from Sierra.
Oh, you dropped two. Because
it was so fresh and so good, and I've been so drunk that it's all gone.
It's so good.
Drank my last bottle the other night.
I had 4 of my final 6-pack, and then Taryn's parents bought me a 12-pack for my birthday, and I was like, perfect. That's great. Let's restock.
Yeah, when I went to the Safeway, I didn't buy more because it was so fresh and so good.
Yes.
And then the Firestone mix pack was sitting next to it and it had our beer in it. And I was like, well, I have to buy that again.
Absolutely.
For the 100th time. I'm buying all of the Grenadier.
Is your fridge just full of Easy Jack and the other stuff?
Yeah, because I only drink. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
All right. Let me take a quick break. And when we come back, more from Flatland Brewing Company. Hang in there. It's the session.
Segmented. Demented. Fermented. It's the session.
All right, welcome back to the show. Thanks for hanging out with us and listening to our sponsors. That's good of you to do that. That's why the show is free to you and not to me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't forget it.
All right, we are hanging out with Flatland Brewing Company. They're out of a little not-so-little town anymore called Elk Grove, California. It's kind of a big town now.
175,000 people now.
That's a lot of people.
It's the second largest suburb of Sacramento.
You opened at the right time.
I think so.
You know, good for you. I mean, hopefully you'll make money one day.
One day. It's the goal. It's the goal.
Yeah. So before the break, we were talking about beer styles, of course, and doing everything we can to make fun of JP.
Whoa!
But one of your favorite, I mean, it's hard to even call it a style. One of your passions is sour beer.
Yeah, category.
And there's so many different, ways to have a sour beer.
Yeah.
So what got you into sour beer to begin with?
Sour beer. So honestly, just home brewing. I made a couple kettle sours, and then I was really into like lambic style beers.
Okay.
And
lambics are like the single unblended ones.
Yeah, okay. Straight unblended.
Yeah.
Well, they can be blended, I guess, but no matter what, they're not fruited. They're not like blended 1, 2, 3. You know, different ages.
Got it.
That's what makes it goose, but they can be blended.
Got it.
I tried to make a couple of those with some Rosalair pitches at home. You know, home brewing things and. Oak cubes, and I got some Vinny barrel cubes that I tried to reculture, and that was a fun project. And
you got those at like a homebrew at a National Homebrewers Conference.
Yeah,
I remember
Seattle.
That year.
Yeah,
he just was giving out bags of those.
It was great.
You get cubes, and you.
It was all the homebrewers were so friggin' stoked about that.
Oh,
so you brewed
them,
with those. Okay.
So I brewed with those, and I kept adding culture to it. And then what I would do is take them out of the carboy, dry them, and then repitch them into my next beer, and that would be my culture for the next beer.
Nice,
and it worked. It worked pretty well, and I just kept that going, and then That was I was going to do a sour only brewery, and I was like, one barrel, manageable, I can do all that. But then really looking at time and space and learning about that.
You think you're broke now.
Yeah.
Way to go not doing that.
Well, that's part of the reason why we're really broke now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because we did invest pretty heavily. Well, I don't want to say invest heavily, but we did invest into barrels and, okay. and sour stock and that whole thing.
So you have a lot of barrels in your brew house now.
We had.
Had, okay.
Had, yeah.
Okay. Now you have a lot of planters.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't work out, the program?
No, no, it worked out well, but so we made a mistake, and we actually took these long slabs of wood that were stored outside and made tables off the side of the barrel racks. You okay. know, kind of cool, you put your beer on there, whatever, have a good time. We didn't know that those pieces of wood, since being stored outside, would actually have these thing called wood boring beetles.
Oh no,
so they got in every one of our barrels.
Oh really?
And they don't, what they do is they kind of bore in, they eat the wood, they lay their larvae on the outside, and then sometimes they go all the way in, they get shot out by beer. So we've walked in a couple times to where half a barrel is empty, and as you get acid all over the floor.
There was one time a full barrel empty.
And you just can't get rid of them without, because you'd have to use pesticides near a food product, basically.
Even then, trying to track them down is near impossible. You see a sawdust hole is what you see on the side of the barrel, and that's all you see.
Wow.
Yeah, and so we have...
F you, Sacramento.
I know it. So what we've been doing is we have 2 8-barrel single-wall tanks, and we use those for sour blending tanks. We take 4 barrels... you know, like wine barrels of sour beer, put them into that after the cultures had enough time to do what they need to do, and then let them sit for a couple more months, get the cultures to know one another, and then we can bottle fruit, whatever we wanted from there.
Okay.
So we've been, and then taking those barrels and selling them off for, you know, planters or making planters or tables for us.
Yep.
So most of the aging you're saying is done in stainless? Is that what I'm hearing?
The initial project was like, okay, we're going to do fermentation, primary fermentation in stainless, all secondary with mixed culture in barrel.
Okay.
And then we had, they've been going for almost 3 years. So they've been in wood for a long time, and I guess we've pulled and rotated. And so probably the oldest one that we've had in there is maybe 2 years now, maybe a year and a half.
So
they keep it rotating, but
you had to get rid of that lot that was infested, but now you're good and you're building it up again. Is that what's happening?
We're still not good.
You're still not
dealing
good.
With it because now we're full capacity, and just the logistics of like, okay, plan a bottling day. Let's get bottles on here. Let's get all the fruit re-fermentation tanks and all that sort of stuff laid out.
Okay.
Not as easy as expected, and we're in more of a hurry than we ever have been. But we also know that, like, these beetles can't do anything, as hideous as they are and as destructive as they can be. They're not doing anything detrimental to the beer physically.
Okay.
And so we just take our time, get those 8-barrel tanks empty, load 4 more barrels in, and then hopefully we'll be able to start fresh. What I want to do is take a little time off of barrel program, have all the barrel stock we need to last us for about a year, and then let all those bugs die off for the next season. Bring back new barrels, start fresh.
Okay. That's how you'll deal with the problem, ultimately.
Yeah. And in the meantime, we can make some really badass stainless mixed culture beer, too.
Okay. That's what we've been having fun with, is all mixed culture stainless.
But this one in my glass is from the barrels.
That is from barrels.
And so this is called Unwritten Stories, right?
Yep.
I haven't tasted it yet, but it smells amazing.
Yeah, we're really happy with this beer. This took a bronze over at the Craft Beer Cup in Long Beach. And I don't want to call it lambic, because it's not lambic. It's not made in that process. It's not treated in that way. But it is a blended barrel-aged sour beer. So all the barrels came from different sources, most of them from Cake Bread and Napa. And then two different golden sour bases. Base, similar recipe, but different pH. We're trying to play with different pHs and see what that does with head retention and the rest of it. And then kind of let them sit there for a little while. And then I think, did one of the barrels get aged hops? I think one of the barrels had some aged hops in it.
But there's no fruit in this?
No fruit in this at all. No.
Because it has like a nice like apricot flavor to it in the aroma too.
Yeah.
It is definitely sour, which I like. I like my stuff on the sour side. Brett in there too?
Like, yeah.
Because there's like the Brett is subtle, but perfect for the amount of sourness you have.
Yeah. So I listen to a lot of you guys and obviously Sour Hour, and they're saying that IBUs are a big factor of Brettanomyces production. So if you want more Brettanomyces character, then hop more.
Okay.
And so we're kind of heading toward that direction where I feel like our culture is developed enough to where we can develop acid now. We just need to get character out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the direction we're heading toward now with the stainless barrel-aged sours. I'm sorry, stainless sours, non-barrel-aged. But yeah, this is fun, man. This is
a great beer.
Yeah, it's been in bottle for 8 months, probably. It took a little while to bottle condition, fully developed. And I'm in love with this thing. It has acid. It's got that really lime Skittle sort of character.
Yeah. Oh, Skittle's a great term.
Yeah, yeah. I like candy.
I think you're right. Like, once you said that, it instantly showed up on my palate.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's like where it's, you know, it's getting your...
Yeah, that part that, like, hurts back there when you first start to... Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's PDO, too. I think a lot of brewers don't mess with PDO, and I think it definitely adds, like, another dimension to sour beer. Mm. And I don't think lambics would be what they are without PDO.
Okay.
Of course, they're in check and acetic. I think we were just talking about this a little bit ago. I think acetic acid definitely has its place in sour beer, where if it's on a very light, subtle edge, it adds dimension to it.
Sure.
And adds more of, like, a dynamic acid profile. So that's kind of what we're shooting for. We don't want, like, acetic bombs. And we've had those. Yeah. We've dumped those. And yeah. We've actually had
them. We've all tasted those. Yeah. not yours, but
Sure. We had a weird upright project for a while that picked up more acetic than our actual closed barrels.
Oh, okay.
Last longer than 4 hours?
Yeah. Plenty of oxygen for acetic. But, yeah, we had one beer earlier. We're like, yeah. Great beer. It has that quality of a culture that we want. And then we found a bottle of our collab with a brewery in Davis called Dunlow. Mm. Middle of somewhere else. It's an apricot, peach, dry hop with Galaxy mixed culture sour.
Okay.
That was all stainless. And then we got into that beer. We're like, oh my gosh, this is the culture that we love, that smell, that Skittle, that lime.
Yeah.
It's just nice, clean sour.
Yeah.
But then we went back to this other beer, and we're like, all right, there's a touch of acetic, but we don't hate it.
I agree with you. I've never hated the acetic. Of course, there was a little time there where every sour beer in America had way too much of it.
Yeah.
But I've never hated it, and I think it's a nice character in this beer.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really subtle in this one. This one didn't get too much oxygen exposure, but it's there, and I think that's what makes it lambic-like.
Mm.
Again, I'll never call my beers lambic or anything like that. It's too much respect. But
lambic-ish.
Yeah, lambic-ish. That's a good name. But honestly, you know, I grew up on Flanders Reds and Flanders Browns because Golden Sour was back when I started homebrewing, even, 10 years ago, 11, 12 years ago. They weren't really there.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have do a Goose Tilken and some really cool, funky stuff like that, and Cantillon. But to have an Americanized Golden Sour, near impossible. You know?
Yeah.
It just didn't exist. At least not that I found.
This has the complexity of a great Belgian-made sour beer, man. I think because it has a little bit of the acetic, I think because it has that PDO, I think because it has some Brett, it's really complex.
Yeah. You know what I think sort of takes over the edge is... There's a mouthfeel. There's a heaviness to it. There's a weight to it on your palate.
Yeah.
There's a texture. And I think a lot of American sour beers aren't like that.
Maybe a little too dry, even.
Thin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't have that. It is chewy almost. Not I don't want like a stout or whatever, but there's a heft to that sort of mid palate malt character.
Yeah.
I appreciate a lot, yeah.
What is the base beer? Did you tell us that?
Budweiser. So,
yeah, we just
re-fermented.
Beechwood aged, ladies and gentlemen.
From Fairfield, so we just get their overstock.
Yeah.
No, so this is a four-grain Saison recipe. It is wheat, well, obviously two-row. Or did we use, I think we used Pilsner on this one.
There may have been Pilsner, yeah.
Yeah,
come
Pilsner.
On, come on, guys.
I know, gosh, this is only 4 years ago.
It's obvious.
It's a barrel at a time, boys. Yeah. You can't even remember that.
No, I don't even remember what I did Monday.
Oh, yeah, anyway, oats, wheat, rye, and two row.
Okay.
And it's a pretty small percentage of all the others, but just enough to build up body like JP is saying.
Yeah, maybe the oats and the rye are helping with that.
Yeah, but
right?
I think a lot of the body is coming from Brettanomyces, the glycerol production that it has during its fermentation process. And I think if you find the right strains, which we like Brexlensis and Clausiniae, I think both of those kind of put out a decent amount of glycerol. And so it adds body while
is this weird to say that, like, that same slime that would be on the top of this beer during its souring is what disappears into, like, this glycerol, you're saying?
You know, that's above my pay grade.
Okay,
which doesn't mean much, but...
Because, there's always, like, this cake on the top to begin with.
Yeah, it's called a pellicle.
Yeah.
And
I like cake.
Yeah, I love cake.
It makes me hungry.
Yeah, candy and cake.
I wish it was like cake. Yeah, but when you look at it, it's kind of horrifying.
Yeah, it is.
But it's kind of slimy and thick and weird.
You know, and that does sort of dissipate a little bit. And of course, you get more of it during oxygen exposure. So we actually don't see too much in our barrels, although we do see a little bit.
Okay.
It does definitely have a pellicle. But I think it's just part of the Brettanomyces metabolism. I think it just kind of throws out glycerol as part of its byproduct.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, there might be something there to the pellicle.
Is this beer still for sale at your brewery?
No.
Or this is
no,
like an old, yeah.
We were like, oh, no one's going to buy this. No one cares about non-fruited barley.
We've sold out before it won the award at the summit.
Really? Yeah, so okay.
So we have a few cases at the brewery. So if like, you know, we get some cool people come by, I'm like, hey, try this.
I mean, you could have just, if it wasn't selling, just don't say not fruited, because you easily could have answered, oh, yeah, sure, there's some apricot in there.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what you taste.
I think if you compare this to some great peach apricot beers that are out there in our region, I think it stands right there with it.
Yeah, like if those beers are aged out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you almost get like the skin tannin kind of thing, or like the seed tannin, like that whole kind of thing. But yeah. That's a very good beer.
It is. And it's so I've said this on the show before, it's so drinkable. You know, in Belgium, you can actually get that style of beer in a pint glass.
Oh, God, I would
because
kill.
It's so drinkable, right, that it dries. It just makes you thirsty again. That beer has that quality.
Yeah.
It's not so sour that it makes you want to chill out. It's so... It's so sour that it makes you want to drink more.
Right.
It makes you thirsty.
Well, honestly, I get like a little bit of wood tannin on the very back end. Mm-hmm. It kind of like tickles your teeth a little bit. And I think that also adds a little drying effect to where...
I get it straight through.
Like, yeah, sure. Yeah.
From where I'm tasting it from beginning to end, which is sort of odd also. It's like just this direct line from start to finish that's there, but not overpowering in any way. And I sort of finish with that too. And it's not charred. It's not toasted. It's just... It's sort of lightly toasted. It's... Very interesting.
I feel like this is the most annoying part of our show for our listeners.
Is when we just reiterate the same shit.
No, when we're talking about this amazing beer that nobody else gets to try, right. And we just keep talking about how good it is and all the different parts, and they're like, yeah, we get it. It's fucking amazing.
You know, what happened to, like, Smell-O-Vision? I feel like didn't someone in Japan in, like, the 90s develop something like that? So in 20 or 30 years, we're going to be able to just punch this in the computer.
We're ahead of our time.
Yeah.
So, listeners at home, get your lime Skittle and, like, put it in a little glass with a tiny bit of vinegar.
There you go. Yeah. tiny bit, of course.
Just, yeah, one drop is like a drop. Three parts Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, I was going to say, a little Chardonnay, a little Sauvignon Blanc. Yeah.
I didn't even get the lime Skittle thing. When you said it, I was like, oh. Because you sort of took it from this place to, like, lime Skittles.
I'm lime Skittles are
I got it
list?
The second he said, I wouldn't have used that descriptor, but the moment he said it, I went, oh, yeah, there it is.
Smell your empty glass, too. You get some more... of the wood toasty.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Smells
like an empty barrel.
Like a medium. What toast was this? Like
it was medium plus.
Yeah, it's medium plus. All right.
Yeah, so these
which is the best? Medium plus Hungarian oak.
Oh, sexy.
Forget about it.
Sexy.
Well, no, I'm talking about the oak, not me.
Oh, I was talking about you.
Oh,
so speaking of oak, totally different topic.
You guys need your own show, the two of you.
We just need, maybe.
It would not go well.
There's a love connection.
But Amberana wood. Have you guys ever heard of Amberana? I wish I
seen some of her videos online, but I'm not.
Yeah, it wasn't my thing.
Yeah, it wasn't
really.
No, I'm kidding.
She likes a lot of smokes.
Never seen her.
Yeah.
Oh, her. Yeah. No, I'm telling you, Amberana wood is incredible.
What is Amberana wood?
It's a Brazilian hardwood from Brazil. And they make casks out of it, but getting up here in the States can be difficult and expensive.
Sure.
Okay. Against the Grain had a beer at GABF that we tasted that was like, wow, what the fuck is this?
Yes.
This is incredible.
Okay.
And it has all the characters of like an adjunct stout with just wood.
It's Amberana wood.
It's cinnamon, it's nutmeg, ginger.
Wow.
Yeah, cocoa, vanilla. It has like all these really cool characters. So
but
we're going to start.
Just in the wood.
Yeah, we're going to do an Imperial Stout Asian whiskey barrels pretty soon. And we have Amberana chips is what we have found.
Where did you get those?
Drake's actually. Drake's told us. The barrel program. Yeah.
They were one of the first Amberana like wood barrel-aged beers that we had.
They would be, too.
They used, I think, spirals in this one. I don't know. Have you ever had their Robusto Porter?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
so they took that with Amberana.
Okay.
And we had it at a beer pairing competition that we had at the barn in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And he let us taste that. We're just like...
It kind of blew your mind.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've been on the hunt since, and I found two other beers. And then Whistlepig Whiskey, they have this really badass small batch that they did in Amberana casks. And my brother is a big whiskey head. And so he bought 12 bottles. And so we were drinking it, like, Sunday morning watching football. It tastes like cinnamon French toast, just straight whiskey. I'm like, dude, this could be something.
So apparently, you're using it now, like, waiting for the beer to come out?
It is on order.
Oh, okay, got
it. Apparently some people are aging cachaça in it.
Yes, that's what they use in Brazil,
fuck,
cachaça,
yeah.
What is cachaça?
It's like it's a rum-ish kind of thing.
Sugarcane spirit.
Okay.
Yeah, Brazilian.
It's a little funky.
Got it.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Well,
it up
that's
right
exciting.
Now.
We'll have to try that when you come back next time.
Yeah, sure. Amberana, Amburana.
That's the new thing, kids.
All right. All right, next glass beer in our glass, though. Yeah, exactly. Oh, easy like Sunday morning.
Yeah, one of my favorite songs.
Good song.
You can buy them.
Yeah. Jesus. So this is a. So what we did during Beer Week last year, so back in May, I think is when Beer Week was.
Well, you get a whole week now? What the fuck?
I know, huh?
It's actually 10 days. It's almost 2 weeks.
We're that cool. Yeah. So we did this competition. We got this wort supplied by Gambrinus. Well, we made the wort. They supplied the malt. Mm. And then BSG helped out. White Labs gave us yeast. And we did a homebrew like competition. Mm. So we made all the wort. We gave it away to homebrewers. They take it home. They bring it back in, and they ferment it out, and then we judge it.
It was about 70. We did like 70 carboys that went out, and I think in total we got 45.
No, and we went out. 120 went out. 75 went back.
Wow.
So we judged 75 beers.
That's a lot of beer.
Yeah, all in one night too, which is part. Well, some were pretty easy to eliminate, but a lot of them, like the top five. The top five were phenomenal. Yeah, exactly.
We were kind of worried for a second, and then before we knew it, we had 15 beers left. We're like, we've been here 20 minutes.
Isn't that the thing now? You're either an awful homebrewer or you make phenomenal beer.
Now?
I feel like there's not a lot of middle ground.
Well, where it used to be, you're just an awful homebrewer.
I just feel like there was more middle ground before. And now you're either new and suck or you're just amazing and you should be a pro brewer.
Yeah. So we have the Elk Grove Homebrewers Guild, which is just a homebrew group club.
Yeah.
Not just. They're more than that. But they are the best homebrewers I think I've ever met. There's some really cool brews coming out of that group.
Okay.
So they dropped off some, and they did well. But the winner of this competition was this guy, Josh Young. And so we brewed this beer, and he was like, I don't know what to do. I'm on vacation. How about we do a double IPA? I'm like, no, let's give it some time, whatever. So he thought about it, and he was like, my wife's favorite dessert is the peanut buster parfait at Dairy Queen.
Okay.
Like, how can we put that in a beer?
I'm like, and you're like, fuck you, is how we're picking another winner.
Yeah, no, we're doing a blonde ale, okay?
Yeah.
We're going to rename our beer.
Yeah, you've been DQ'd.
Wait. Yeah. So it wasn't that you were brewing the beer that he won the competition with? He wins the competition and then gets to pick a beer?
That would be a good name.
He won with a beer to guard.
And then you're like, sweet, this is going to be cool, easy. And then he comes up with this shit.
Well, honestly, I didn't want a beer. Beardegard. As much as I love Beardegard, the way the wort was crazy. I love Gambrinus. I think they're great, and they'll sponsor us anytime, and we love that.
Yeah.
But the malt was way more characterful than I expected. It was just their two-row pale malt, and it was red and had just more character than I expected. And we did 93% base malt, 7% Munich. And it was just really red.
Yeah.
And Beardegard was a great style for it because I think he pulled it off well. And he added some honey. Just like a really clean ferment, really nice Belgian quality. Just a really beautiful beer.
Okay.
So,
but he chose this beer. And did he have the recipe or he gives you this Dairy Queen parfait thing and says, you do it?
It was more of an idea. It was a concept. And I'm like, okay, well, we have this great stout recipe that'll play well for this whole thing. And we tweaked it here and there. Got rid of some more roast malt. And here it is. So this is our peanut buster parfait, if Dairy Queen allows that.
It's a great beer. Yeah, probably not, but they're not.
Well,
they don't listen.
So Easy Like Sunday Morning is our loophole.
Yeah.
So it's not staying.
It smells like the way I remember walking into like Lord's Ice Cream in Livermore, like local kind of whatever. And it smells like just a mix of all of the different sort of ice cream waffle cone smells that you walk into like a small place. But mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Mm.
Oh,
that's my favorite ice cream. So that's usually what I get. So like mint chocolate chip ice cream in a waffle cone in that environment, all of those confectionery smells with the kind of crispness of a mint with the deepness of the chocolate that you're eating, like that whole sensory. I'm like 8 years old and ice cream right now.
I don't disagree with the word you said.
Smelling it.
So again, that's mission accomplished for us, right? And again, when I came in here, I'm like, we don't make beers for JP. But if we can take people to a place, then mission accomplished, right? Flavor profile, doesn't matter the beer style, doesn't matter what you're drinking.
Right.
If you can have a memory, because our brains are so powerful, right? We have sense memories that just grab onto things.
That association,
Yeah, of course. And so I think if we can take JP to a place where he's walking in the Lord's when he's 8 years old.
I'm surprised he's not sobbing right now.
I know, me too. Yeah.
I'm sobbing, but you can't see it.
Yeah. I mean, that's all we need, right? So if we can just take people to places with beer, I mean, that's all we can fucking do. I'm happy with that.
So what is in it that's giving it all of what JP just described?
Because
I cannot do better than he just did.
The stout recipe is I don't want to say straightforward, but it's kind of straightforward. How many malts are in there? Like,
it's probably 9.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's probably the most complex recipe.
How homebrewer of you?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about the brew day on this beer because it's absolutely terrible. But I'm glad
the memory that it takes you to is not good like JP's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, just a bunch of different malts. We use Maris Otter base, and then gosh, Munich wheat, pale chocolate, dark chocolate from Brice, Patagonia, Perla Negra.
Okay, but there's adjuncts too.
Yes, there's okay. Yes, yes. So vanilla beans.
Because I'm like, you're going to blow my mind if you were like, nope, no, we did it all with malt.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, hands down, brewery of the year.
Yeah, Amberana wood, man.
Yeah.
No, so this is vanilla beans, Veracruz Mexican vanilla beans, and then we use PB2 peanut butter. And then what am I missing here? The
wait, what is PB2?
Yeah, it's
like PB1, like de-oiled powdered peanut butter.
Yeah.
Oh, so you could use it. I see.
Yeah. Okay. And we did a post fermentation. We did we pasteurized it in a yeast brink, and then injected it, and then moved the beer over.
Honestly, you want the consistency of like tomato soup, is what they say.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, cool. Looks like tomato soup. Let's shoot it in the fermenter.
I see. Okay.
I don't even. I get a little bit of the peanut butter, but I feel like it's almost jagged. It's pointy. Like the nuttiness kind of at the end, it's like, here's this perfectly round balloon, and then here's a thing
stabbing out. And it sticks out?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's just me. So in case you cared.
Well, is it a unicorn balloon, or did it pop the balloon?
It's like a unicorn balloon.
Like a unicorn balloon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The horn's still sticking out?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the peanut butter is definitely there. It's present. I mean, you can't miss it. I think it's in the nose. It smells like a Snickers bar to me. If you were to melt a Snickers bar down into a liquid form, that's exactly what it smells like.
I don't get a lot of peanut butter in the nose because I think all the chocolate really is dominant for me.
I must have good peanut butter receptors because I get all
the nose really? To me lots is like butter. A peanut butter Girl Scout cookie.
It's like it's like a Reese's Pieces.
Can't wait for Girl Scouts.
Melted on top of a cupcake, a chocolate cupcake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. JP touched on a big point, the cocoa nibs.
Yeah, I did.
So, meow. Ooh. So there is this, a really badass, like, chocolatier up in Roseville, which is about 40 minutes north of where we are. And it's called Crew Chocolates. I'm going to give them a shout out. So they are a pretty much home-based chocolatier. They won awards pretty much, they're winning awards all over the world now. And they make the best cocoa nibs I've ever smelled. I had the privilege of going there, taking a tour. Again, it's through their house, so like it's showing me all these really cool things.
Here's the bathroom on the left.
Well, it really took me, so going back to time and place, right? They took me to, it made me feel like I was in South America.
Okay.
My family was running around, she was cooking food, but she's like the main inspiration for the Chocolatier Company. And it was just like so humbling, like, man, we're doing it all wrong. Like, this is what it's about.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a great experience. And then tasting the chocolate in all its different forms. From raw cocoa to its processing to in a mortar and pestle. What is that? Mortar and pestle.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
Depends on where you are.
Yep. And then, South America, everything's backwards, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, then tasting it, I'm like, man, these cocoa nibs are super legit. So we put them, we did Haitian and, oh gosh, I can't remember. He's going to hit Honduran cocoa nibs. And smelling them, eating them, I never thought cocoa nibs could taste as good as they did.
Okay.
And then putting them in the beer, it changed this beer 100%.
I believe
it. It rounded all the roast off. It changed everything about the beer.
And how long did you have them in for?
It was maybe a week.
Really?
Like, yeah.
That's it?
5 days?
Not
6 days?
Really? Wow.
It was that potent. And we did
the best, well, technically, let me say cacao nibs.
Yeah, cacao.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm lazy to say cocoa nibs.
Yeah.
Sure. But, the best chocolate character we've ever received
in a short time.
I'm surprised because like I like to leave nibs on for like 2 months minimum because you get that initial burst of chocolate and then you start getting the tannins and the deeper shit out of there. It's like oat cubes.
This has a burst of chocolate.
4 months for a stout. It's like it's amazing. It's so deep and complex.
Depends what you're going for, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Right. If you're going for chocolate. I think we found the sweet spot of like 5 to 6 days, mm-hmm. and we need 1 pound per barrel.
That was my question.
Boom!
Thank you for answering.
I'm a mind reader as well.
Yeah. Hugo, did you try this beer?
I had that did pound per barrel.
Pour yourself some. You should try this beer. I think you'll like it.
It's really good. Yeah, and it's 11%, so it is terrifyingly drinkable.
11%.
Wow. Yeah, I don't like that because I want to drink all of it.
You should drink all of it.
Yeah.
Didn't you guys bring like 3 bottles?
No. Well, it's draft right now.
Oh, we have this on draft right now.
Draft.
Pour JP a pint.
Yeah, no, I'm sick.
And an Uber.
I'm here, sick. I don't want that.
I'm not sick if you want to try mine. I think you'll like this beer.
Yeah, so we're pretty stoked on this beer.
I'm even usually I would go, oh, it's a great dessert beer, but it's mm-hmm. not. It's not just that. It's a little more complex than that. It's also not so sweet that it's just a dessert beer. Yeah. I mean, it's sweet. Don't get me wrong.
It has a sweetness, but it's not
yeah.
sweet.
Agreed. Right? Yeah, that. So no, it's like a mid meal beer. It's an appetizer beer. Yeah. It's not just a dessert beer.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
I wish I could taste it with just the chocolate. Like, if you take the peanut butter out.
That's what I want. I want the peanut butter out, maybe a little barrel aging.
I don't want any of that. I want exactly yeah. like it is. Why no. would you take the peanut butter out? The peanut
like
butter
it.
Is great.
It's fine.
It is great, but I really want to taste this chocolate by itself.
Well, I think honestly, like, a lot of the...
Have you even sipped it yet?
All of the ingredients are...
She's living in it.
Yeah, all the ingredients
She's
are great.
Like,
and then
mainlining it.
The peanut butter is just kind of, like, lesser quality than everything else. I don't know.
Disagree. To me, the...
But it depends on what going for, like Andy yeah. said. It depends on what you're up for.
To me, the peanut butter ties it together. Statements. It would just be kind of a chocolate bomb without some nuttiness
That's
to it.
That's what I want.
You want a chocolate yeah. bomb.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, hey, stay tuned, JP, because we're actually taking this same base beer
yep.
and doing 7 different variants of it.
Wow.
So, well, actually, that's a lie. 5, because 2 are going to be barrel-aged.
Yeah,
okay.
I want it in a milkshake.
It's good, right? Yeah, you can yeah. turn it into a dessert for sure, but it's just a great all-around sipper.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of our next beer slushie, we'll do a beer milkshake.
Yeah, for Bevo, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Just for you. You got to come up, though.
Yeah, the catch
up.
Is she yeah. has to make them. She has to work the bar
right.
for them.
Right. So, sorry, 7 variations of this
yes.
same?
Yeah, so okay. we're doing on the Saturday. So we're doing it at our place. We're doing it at one other tap room up in Sacramento, which I can't mention unless I mention others. But
okay.
So it's a very famous, great, yes. Yeah, it's on the Capitol Corridor. I don't even say that. But so
it's great, nobody it's listens great, to this show.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's a great tap room, and we love them. And so they invited us to do this Black Flannel Friday, because we do a lot of flannel at the brewery, and we have this beer called Flannel Shirt, which the Imperial, or, I'm sorry, Session Stout.
Okay.
That's been adjuncted with coffee, vanilla, flannel jackets is the big brother. And then so we're doing this thing with the same base beer. We're doing cranberry orange peel on one. We're doing cocoa vanilla maple on another.
Okay. Nice.
Back up. You got to give the names.
Yeah. Also, take a minute.
Because
Breathe.
Everyone listens to this show at 1.5 times speed.
Yeah.
So well, I also no talk fast and mumble, so this
yeah.
is really great.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start with this. The first name we have is Unholy Cannoli. And it is nice. A cannoli-inspired imperial stout with hazelnuts.
Cannolis are Italian, JP, if you didn't know.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
So yeah,
it's
we
a friend of mine.
Coming. Yeah. Holiday Hangover is the other one that we just came up with yesterday. And
nice.
That is, well, I can't take any credit for that. That's all Eric. And that is orange and cranberry.
Okay, good name.
Grandma's Favorites, also Eric's name.
With this base beer, just to clarify.
With
again.
This base beer.
Okay. All right.
Yep, that is going to be one of those chocolate candy cordials, you know, that you bite into and they're almost like too rich and sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So we're going to try to do that.
Chocolate cherry.
Yeah, chocolate
yep.
cherry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, that'll lose. Go ahead, next.
I have a list right here.
Yeah, do you have it? Go for it.
Yeah.
Do it.
So you already said Grandma's Favorite. You already said Holiday Hangover and Unholy Cannoli. We have Fat Elvis.
Yeah.
PH Fat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, sure.
That has more peanut butter in it than this one.
It's a banana
yes,
peanut
butter.
Banana
and
bacon and honey.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah,
and
baby.
Quaaludes.
Bacon and honey.
And Quaaludes.
Please?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coffee and donuts, which is just coffee, maple, vanilla.
Right. Okay.
That'll be good. That'll be good.
And then another one's All About That Base.
Very nice.
Which is the base stout.
Yes.
Okay. That's going to be yeah. the traditional base stout, which I thought the name was hilarious.
That's a good name, yeah. yeah.
We're missing a couple names
no
on this
trouble.
List, but...
You can just yeah, call it No Trouble.
Well, don't
yeah.
give them all out now. I mean, you got to surprise
That's true.
People.
You got to work for it.
You don't want to get stolen
yeah.
either.
So, yeah. Right. So, we're going to be doing that same event at our brewery on Saturday after Black Friday. So, we'll have at least 7, possibly 8, because we're going to have flannel jacket on, which is the coffee vanilla imperial stout base. So, yeah, I'm excited for that.
That's a good Friday.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a good way to kind of get rid of people and after the whole shopping fanatics that
right.
you know, I was like, I don't want to be around people, but I just want a bunch of stout and just get hammered.
Yeah. Here's a bunch of 11% stout.
Yeah, we're going to have Ubers just like ready to go.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Partner with Uber.
Yeah.
This is a great beer.
If you care.
These are all great beers.
Well, thank you.
You guys are doing good work here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here, man. Like I said, I'm a huge listener. I'm a huge fan. And to be here now, it's just coming full circle. So I appreciate the
Oh,
time.
Man. Thanks for saying that. I'm happy to have you. I'm glad the beer doesn't suck, because then I feel like we maybe are part... Like, we would be at fault if you've been listening.
I would blame you, too.
Since before you were... Yeah, most people
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
The beer is fantastic. I'm going to say... The sour beer is my fave.
I had a feeling, yeah, because, I mean, I think we have a similar palate just based on what I hear from you. And, you know, we try to make sour beer to where it's acidic, but it's not undrinkable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I don't even drink a lot of sour beer anymore.
Well,
I went through that phase where I was like, just give me everything sour. Yeah. And now I'm super picky about it. So, like, if the rare barrel's on tap, I'll have a glass. Yeah. If I see a new brewery sour, it has to kind of be the brewer telling me to drink it or a friend. I just, in other words, I kind of avoid them a little bit because I have like a narrow window of what I love. I love this one. I would drink this one every day.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
it's enough for you. Actually, we do have some kegs. I think we have like 3 or 4 kegs that are keg conditioned that we should probably partition off. And
There's still a few more bottles of that one.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, yeah, we brought 4 in.
There are 3 more, in fact.
So
wow.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks.
All right. Well, sorry, JP.
Well, for what?
There's only 3 more.
Oh, shit.
No, oh, really, really good. And then this last one, the Easy Like Sunday Morning, it's a close second, actually. And I never pick a sweet beer as my favorite, but I think it's because what you and I both were saying, Andrew, that it's sweet but not.
Right.
And that's what I really like about it. It has all of those characteristics of a sweet beer without the shitty sweetness.
That's true.
You know?
You should put some cream cheese powder in it and call it cheesy like Sunday morning. Ooh, and then that'd be good.
Yeah. That would be pretty good.
Yeah. Max, okay. Like, done.
Yeah.
Done. Gotcha. And done.
Perfecto.
Well, I got to take a break, but you guys want to hang out for the last segment?
Fuck yeah, man.
I'm just going to dick around a little bit. Yeah. Is that all right with you?
Oh, sounds like a good time.
Let me see.
It's not really, but we have to.
Folks at home, go to flatlandbrewingco.com. Flatlandbrewingco.com if you want to learn more about these folks. They have a really nice looking tasting room. I saw some photos on there about that. You can learn about all the beer they do. They got some nice merchandise on there.
Oh, a little merchandise.
Yeah, they have. You can. I always like going to the about pages of.
We just put that on there too. So much shit has changed on there.
Andrew, your about is a run-on sentence. I don't know if you knew that.
Weird. It's like he voice texted it.
I did. it's how I talk. It's so perfect.
Yours is. And then Mac's like an afterthought. He's at the bottom and like barely got a sentence.
That was all him though. I asked, hey, dude,
I did not write my own description for that website.
I'm giving you a better title right now.
I'm actually out of the taproom now, so this website needs to be updated.
Okay.
Like I said.
I've served my time in the taproom.
He's also wearing flannel in his photo on the website, as you mentioned. You guys,
flannel's
like
a
Andrew.
Big theme.
So
they have like rad flannel swag.
Oh, nice.
I have swag envy.
Yeah,
you've got one right there.
I feel like we sell more merchandise than we do beer sometimes.
Well, but
I feel like we're a retail outlet.
In some ways, that's not a bad thing.
No, it's good.
We have so much beer and we have no merch.
Oh, you gotta switch it.
Yeah.
Limit beer to create scarcity. And then put a bunch of merch out there. Be like, oh, I went here one time.
Yeah, no scarcity of merch. Yeah. Make it all available. Go to flatlandbrewingco.com and check it out and learn about these guys. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll dick around a little more. Hang in there.
Thank
it's
you.
The session.
Hi, this is Tyler from Libertine Brewing Company in the Central Coast of California. You're listening to Brewing Network, The Session.
It sucks.
Does it suck?
It sucks.
But that's what's good about it, is that it sucks, right?
All right, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. We got a couple things left to do here.
Yeah.
Still hanging out with the Flatland fellas.
That's right.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Mainly because they're too big for us to push out of the door.
Right.
Yeah.
I drank a lot of beer in my time. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We just learned that Andrew used to work in security, so now we're a little afraid.
I did one gig.
Yeah.
For Lionel Richie.
Well, that one time. Yeah.
That one time.
He'll arm
it was worth
bar
a good
us
story. Yeah.
I was a bouncer for like 6 months.
Yeah.
I got my ass kicked all the time. Like no one would listen to me. But I literally got pepper sprayed once.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
I was not intimidating at all.
No.
I was broke. I was a musician. It's a bar I used to play at. And they were like, if you want to like sit at the door a couple nights a week. I was like, yeah, I need that.
Yeah.
It was not my gig.
No.
Yeah. Abernathy's. Do you remember Abernathy's?
Yes, I do.
It was a dive bar in Walnut Creek. Yes. It doesn't exist anymore.
No, for a good reason.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
It was a great place. Yeah, I wasn't a good bouncer. You had one gig as a security guard?
I had one gig, yeah.
And who did you secure?
Oh, boy. Well, I really did nothing, but I tried to secure Lionel Richie and Ashton Kutcher.
Lionel Richie?
Yeah.
What a headliner.
Were they performing together? What was this gig?
It was at Facebook in San Francisco, and they were doing a launch party for something. I didn't even know what it was.
Okay.
And Lionel Richie was singing, so I met him backstage and then escorted him up front and then kind of secured the stage, I suppose.
Yeah,
And then Ashton Kutcher did like a meet-and-greet sort of thing.
I see.
He was just like signing autographs, but I kind of failed, and three women busted past me.
Right.
They were bigger than I was.
I mean, you can't fight off women in between you and Ashton Kutcher.
No, I got squashed.
How was Lionel? Cool or what?
Oh, the coolest.
He was?
Yeah, he was just the most humble, coolest guy I think I've ever met. And
nice.
Just like, you know, you kind of get starstruck a little bit, so
sure.
You lose words.
I've had that happen.
Yeah, so you just shake his hand and be like, ugh.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
How did that go?
I was like, it's nice to meet you. Let me just touch your dick. Like, whatever.
And I was like, sure, I mean, you can if you want.
Yeah. What about Ashton?
I met him. He was cool. He wasn't the most friendly, I think.
Right. Well, you just failed your job.
Well, no, I met him before that.
I see.
And I was like, fuck this guy. I'm going to fail.
I'll send three
girls barreling down him. Yeah.
Yeah. With him, you weren't starstruck. You were like, let me smell your finger, Demi Moore.
Oh, no.
Damn.
Speaking of smell your finger.
Yeah. Whoa. The 21st Amendment. Smell your finger, double IPA.
This segment is brought to you by Manscaped.
There we go.
The best in men's below-the-belt grooming.
Mm.
Mac, Andrew, do you groom, or are you au naturel down there?
I groom.
Mac grooms?
Yeah. Well, he's getting married. I've been married, but...
So you don't have to groom anymore, is your point?
Well, I go quarterly. You know, it's like I'm already a hairy person, so I might as well clean up a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Quarterly sounds like an afro to me down there.
No, I mean, I don't know. I feel like my face grows faster than anything else.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Do you ever had, like, a manscaping injury, though?
I've had plenty, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It sucks. I've almost felt like I had to go to the hospital sometimes because it's hard to stop the bleeding.
Your balls are bleeders. Dude, that's just what it is.
They're so thin. There's veins right there. You can see them. You see the veins.
It's true.
Well, Manscaped can help you because they're changing the grooming game with their... they now have a whole package called the Perfect Package 2.0.
Finally.
Inside the Perfect Package 2.0, you get the Lawnmower 2.0. Which I've now used.
You have?
I took it home and I used it.
There we go. And
I don't want to tell.
You were staring him right in the eyes as you were saying.
You know, I was going to tell that I had to go to the. I was having a problem with my balls.
Yeah,
I had to go to the ER.
Oh,
what?
I know. This is why I was hesitant. Not because of the manscaping, but
no,
because I had to go to the ER. I was like. Well, I should shave it now.
So
they don't have to.
How big of a problem?
So I busted out the Lawnmower 2.0.
There you go.
It worked like a charm. So it's not like a STD or anything like that.
Sure.
But there was a problem.
All the guys, calm down.
There was some pain going on that shouldn't have been there.
Yes.
Yes. It was like a... And I'm like... So I call the advice nurse.
Yeah.
And the advice... I'm not making this shit up. The advice nurse is like, you need to talk. I'm going to connect you with a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor's name? Dr. Wang.
I swear
to God.
Hey, they have an expert in every field.
I swear to God.
Right.
She comes back on the line. She's like, Mr. Crossley, I have Dr. Wang on the line. And I'm like, this is a joke. I called the wrong number.
That's right. You called the Ted Nugent hotline. Wang goes.
And Dr. Wang is like, listen, you know, whatever's happening, it's not good. You got to go into the ER. And it's like a Saturday.
Oh, you're getting billed double time.
No, I just mean like it's going to be like busy. I mean like the line out the door, you know.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I had to go. My balls are fine. Everything's fine.
What was the issue, or do you want to talk about it?
They don't really know.
See,
well, that's terrifying.
Which is why I never go to the doctor, because they never know anything. But they did all, like, the blood work, like, the test. So
yeah.
I don't have any, like, thing.
You're right.
They also did, this fucking woman does an ultrasound on my balls yeah. for, like, 45 minutes.
Oh, how do you not?
She's just sitting yeah. there massaging my balls.
With the warm gel.
With the warm gel. And the ultrasound.
Extra for this?
I was like, and this is ridiculous. And everyone there, they're like so matter of fact about it. I'm just, yeah. she's like, I need you to hold them in such a way, like kind of like the bat wing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's like, this will happen faster if you bat wing that. She does, that's not her terminology, but I'm like, you need me to bat wing.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking it's going to take a couple minutes. I thought that an ultrasound was kind of bad for you.
No.
She kept.
They take a long fucking time.
Like, 25 minutes in.
Yeah.
Okay, right ball done. And then she's like, hadn't even started on the painful area.
Because they click and measure and they do the thing and they got to make sure. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's it's not fun, dude. I have to get them every once in a while. It's not like,
on the balls?
No, for my neck.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's not fun.
And then like the doctor in the ER, a female doctor, she can't look at my balls until there's a male nurse present as well.
Oh, man.
So half the time I'm there for like 6 hours with the balls out, and I'm waiting so that the doctor can just, and she looks at my balls for like 5.5 seconds, but they were totally cleanly shaven because of the lawnmower 2.0.
There we go.
And what I was worried about, if I didn't have the lawnmower, is that I would have, like, nicked and been... They would have been like, well, of course your balls hurt. You're bleeding out.
One's hanging out.
Take off that Band-Aid.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But with the lawnmower 2.0, there's no bleeding out. So I knew that if I went in without it, they're going to be like, well, sir, we have to shave your junk.
Yeah.
And I'm not about that. I don't want them. I don't want anybody. I don't want that.
Right.
So I did it myself with the perfect package.
You know what? I wonder if the hospital should have these.
I think Manscaped should,
right?
They should go for this client.
Yeah.
Yeah. They should get this deal.
Well, yeah. Cause don't they just bick tools. You?
Well, that's exactly what I was worried about.
Balls,
I was like, I don't want them to bick, you know.
Your dick.
But I got such a close shave with the lawnmower 2.0 that it was, it's now been a couple weeks or a week and a half or something. Okay. So I'm a little hairy like Andrew over here.
So I need a vasectomy, so I might as well buy one of these packages to keep it clean before I go to the
doctor.
There
we go. Yeah.
Do it, because I used a thing. I even tried to, I was like.
You tried to hurt yourself?
I'm going to put it to the It's like, it's just me.
Weird.
I was like, I'm going to put it to the test,
you're
know.
You're a cutter. That's fine.
I couldn't nick. I could not nick. Okay, but the perfect package isn't just a lawnmower 2.0.
No.
You also get the crop preserver, which is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer.
Which sounds counterintuitive.
I mean, you're going to do your armpits. Why not do, you know?
Your ball pits.
Right.
Yeah.
It also has, if you get the perfect package, it also has anti-chafing performance boxer briefs.
Ooh. Okay. Wow.
Right.
Damn, boy.
It's a whole pack. It's the perfect package.
It is.
And then it has this one I really like, the Crop Reviver Ball Toner Spray.
Sure.
You know, like if you're on an airplane all day and maybe wherever you land, you're going to open your Tinder account. I don't know what you do.
Sure.
You know, you might want to, you don't have time to shower, so you use the Reviver.
Yep. A little spray on, spray off action.
A little spray on. So you can get it all, and you can get 20% off plus free shipping with coupon code BREWING at manscaped.com. And I highly recommend it if you're going to have to go have a procedure, which I was worried about.
I think I was telling you actually like last month where sometimes guys just get a intense pain on their ball sack. Yeah.
But it wasn't going away.
Right. It doesn't. Right.
So, and I'm avoiding the whole thing. So I call there's like an advice nurse.
How long was the pain? I'm interested because I had the similar thing and I just Googled it and it went away like in 2 days.
So I did a bunch of Googling. By the way, don't ever Google
you're pregnant. You were pregnant.
Conditions. I was pregnant. I had dried sperm in my fallopian tube.
Like,
I know. Don't Google things.
Right.
All these things.
Okay.
And but it was day three. and yeah, it was getting worse and worse. So I'm not like day one. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm old and my balls are saggy and they hurt sometimes. Day two, it's like getting worse. And I'm like, all right, I sat on them the wrong way when I was drunk and I don't remember.
Yeah.
I just come back from Mexico, by the way. So I feel like maybe I ran them into a Mexican. I don't know.
Damn.
By day three.
All right. We're wanting to do in
I'm
Mexico.
Tall.
Yeah. Right.
By day three, now I'm like, something's not right.
Yeah.
And I call the nurse. And I'm hoping she's just like, settle down. You probably ran your balls into a Mexican.
went away, though.
But she puts me on the line with Dr. Wang.
Right.
And he's like, listen, man.
Mr. Crossley.
Whatever's happening, there's only a couple things. And none of them are good.
No.
So you need to go.
So we're going to kill you and put you out
of
your misery.
And I was like,
right now.
I'm like moaning about it on the phone. I'm like, are you sure? He's like, I'm pretty sure, man.
And if so, at the one thing I'm known for is Wang.
Yeah, right. And so, at the end of the call, I'm like, I think I sound still hesitant. And I'm like, all right, well, thanks for the advice. And he's like, well, wait. We have to know, like, are you going in or not?
Yeah, it's not advice.
I'm like, what is this, a game show?
He's
like,
you
gotta, are you going in or not? And I'm like, fuck, yes, fine, I'll go in.
God bless.
And then 6 hours later, she's like, I don't know, man.
And how long after that did the pain go away?
It took some days, and they put me on antibiotics.
Okay.
Like, just to be safe, I don't know what.
Sure, yeah, well, you were just in Mexico. Balls
indiscriminately. I do feel like that, I feel like that was part of it. Like, maybe I had an open sore, and then I took a shower, and, like, Mexican water. I don't fucking know.
Mexican water.
Get some worms or something,
sure,
man.
You didn't just have a backup or something.
I've drank Brazilian water, and I'm still alive, so I think you're good.
Maybe my immune system is just, I don't know. But they're like, we don't know.
Sometimes pains just happen.
Right.
And then they go away.
But in certain places, you're just like...
You're very worried about it.
You're worried about
it. For
sure. And that's what the doctor was like, you know, you could lose a testicle. And I'm like,
who gives
so?
A shit?
Yeah. What am I going to use that thing for?
Right.
It just gets in the way anyhow.
Right.
Can you do a ball tuck after I lose it?
Well, and then you get a cool nickname.
That's right. No, but he's like, listen, I'm telling you, if there's anything going on down there, none of it's good. And so he talked me into going, Dr. Wang.
Well, good.
Not that I got to see Dr. Wang.
No. Well, nobody really does.
No,
you never get
to see. I can't make this part up, though. I have to stop myself from laughing as the nurse is introducing me to Dr. Wang.
I don't think I could. No. Honestly, I really don't.
Anyhow, thank you to Manscaped.
That's right. God bless the lawnmower.
For saving me the embarrassment of them having to bick my balls.
Yeah.
Because this doctor, she was like young. This doctor.
Oh, hell yeah.
She's like 24. I don't even know right?
Did you get her number?
She didn't want anything to do with me. And what I'm saying.
She couldn't even look at your dick.
Is by the, I know. What I'm saying, by the time she finally came in with like a male nurse.
Yeah.
Man, she just grazed her eyeballs like across it. She did not spend any time looking like at the problem.
Well, no, she had to throw up super fast.
Yeah.
She probably didn't even need the male nurse. It's not like a cop where they're doing a body search. She's a nurse. She's a doctor, whatever. Like, she's like, I really don't want to.
And
I'm going to look at this guy's dick, and he's going to think I like him now, and then it's going to be weird. So come in, Jeff.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm mortified. There's no privacy in the emergency room.
Right.
So I get to the lobby, right? And there's a small line to check in at the desk. But the fucking asshole behind the desk decides to be efficient at this one point in time. Mm-hmm. So comes out from the desk to talk to everybody in line and ask them what's wrong with them.
Like you're waiting in line for fucking In-N-Out. Yeah, pre-ordering In-N-Out.
How fucking uncomfortable is this? So I'm standing in a line with like 5-6 people, and you know, it's a line, so you're like right next to each other. And she's like, you know, in front of me, so this is where I know, I'm like, I'm ready to get out of line. She's like, what, sir, what's the problem? The guy in front of me, he's like, oh, you know, my leg. You know, sir, what's the problem?
Please, I was
like,
my leg.
And she gets to me, and she's like, what's the problem? And I'm like, I'm having some pain.
And you're
do you think she leaves
where's
like that?
The pain?
Where's the pain, sir? And I'm like, well, it's kind of, you know, it's in my balls. I'm standing in the lobby of the ER, and there's no privacy. So
honestly, I think that's a health privacy code violation.
Yeah, I honestly would have told her, I'm not, I don't feel comfortable telling
Honestly,
you.
There's something called a HIPAA policy, and I think that your HIPAA was violated.
Okay, well, it doesn't end there. Then I go up to the desk, and she hands me off to the nurse who has to, like, take my vitals. Yeah. But the vitals, it's like a chair in the middle of the waiting room where everyone's staring at you. And that nurse is, that guy's like, so what's the problem, sir? And again, I try. I'm just having a little pain. Where, sir? Well, you know, it's kind of, it's a little private. Sir, where's the... It's in my balls. I'm having pain in my balls.
Scream that, yeah.
It still doesn't end. Then,
wow.
Another nurse comes and calls my name. You know, they open the door to the waiting room. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Crosby with the balls?
No.
Okay, no, now I'm exaggerating.
Yeah, right.
Now I'm exaggerating. But he grabs me and he takes me behind the door. So now we're going through the hallways, but he now has to, as if it's not already on a chart, like I answered.
That's the worst part, dude. Yes, they have it.
So, sir, what seems to be the problem today? Well, I'm having a little pain. Where? And, like, they're always, you know.
Yeah. Specific.
This goes on and on and on. Then they put me in a room. Do you think they closed? Now everybody, every nurse and doctor knows that I'm there for a ball problem.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they ever close the door when they come in for an examination or to talk to me or to ask? No, they never close the door. And they're loud. They want to make sure that they're clear. Hi, Mr. Crosby. I hear you're having a problem with your scrotum. And I can hear every other room in the ER because they all talking like this. But I'm the only one with the scrotum problem.
Yeah, everyone else has a normal problem like, oh, my kneecap hurts or the meniscus in my elbow seems inflamed.
I'm having
but you got
pain.
Yeah, you got dick. Basically, you have dick problems.
I have dick problems.
And every eligible nurse in that area knows that.
Yes.
Yeah. You are, I bet you, I guarantee
including
you're on
the hot doctor.
You're on a forum or some sort of Facebook group.
100%.
Yeah. Check out this fucking retard guy.
Probably
came in with a fucking broken dick.
Probably a picture of my broken dick.
Oh, for sure a picture. And not even a picture, a relief in wood or something like that. Like a very artistically done picture of like, you know, like in Ren and Stimpy when they would do close-ups and it was like you could see the like the flies buzzing around, like the errant hairs. It was like, it would be like that.
Well, no.
Like a very artistically done ball
except
area.
I had manscaped with the lawnmower.
Yeah, so.
Otherwise, that would be true.
Right, so the veins, the weird veins that are orange
that way,
for some
it was
reason.
Like a tasteful picture.
So for fucking, did you, is your family tuned out now, Mac, do you think? Or,
they might be by now, but you know.
They also might not be.
They could learn a thing. So for 6 hours, I have to keep going through this every time. The nurse who wheels me down to the ultrasound. What seems to be the problem?
No.
Read the fucking chart.
Yeah, also,
it's
you
got a
don't
picture.
Need to know. You're an orderly. Fuck off.
Yeah, who are you?
Yeah.
And then I get to the ultrasound. And this, now this woman, she pissed me off, actually. The rest of them were just annoying.
Yeah.
But this woman goes, what seems to be the problem? I'm like, well, I'm having some pain. Where's the pain? Like everybody else. It's on my scrotum. And then this bitch, I know.
Where?
Why did you ask where? Hell yeah.
She says,
anyway.
I know. Where?
Damn.
And I'm like, well, then why didn't you ask me, hey, buddy, I understand this is probably a sensitive area.
Yes.
Could you point specifically? No, no.
Can
she
you give
makes
me a chart?
She makes me go through. So I like lift up my gown, bat wing, point, and then she's like, oh, okay, well, I'll get to that later. You just asked me about that.
Honestly, I would call up the director of that fucking ER hospital and seriously fucking talk to him because that's too much.
It was all too much.
Yeah, that's way too much. Because in the ultrasound, at least the limited experience I have, they just do it. They know the region that they have to go.
That's what I was expecting.
And then they do every aspect of that region. But they don't know what they're looking for because they're not qualified to make the decision on what their thing is.
No, this was like, Mr. Crosley in room 7 with a testicle problem. Your mom is on the line. She's a line 7, Mr. Crosley. If you can get your balls off the table to answer the phone, your mom's on the line. Thank you. Have a nice night.
And our phone system is broken, so unfortunately your phone call will be broadcasted the entire hospital.
Yeah. And then, you know how they give you the button to, like, call the nurse?
Yeah.
Like, every time I hit it, it's like,
Crosley with the testicles, room 7 needs help. Yeah. Crosley with the testicles, room 7.
The ball guy.
The ball guy. I was the ball guy.
Hey, well, you know what? At least, honestly,
I'm glad I'm fine.
Well, there's that probably, but it gave you right. gave you a large audience to talk about yourself, and I think that's really what we should focus on.
Right. Agreed.
The attention was on you,
right?
And it should have been great.
I also though feel
and
like
your dick.
All it and my dick. That's the. I also though feel like this is the start of the rest of my life. Sure. Like I did, I felt like okay, I'm now at that age. Where, like, I have a butthole problem and a ball problem and, like, a penis problem. Like, yeah. this, I'm now that, a, like, up until now, it's like, oh, I hit my head or, you know.
See, at
now
first,
it's embarrassing problems forever.
Sure. At first, you thought it was going to be fun to shove your balls into your butthole. But now, 5 years later,
right.
the repercussions are coming back.
All right. Well, when you get to my age and now you have nothing but embarrassing health problems.
And hair.
Go to manscaped.com and use coupon code BREWING.
That's right.
And save yourself some embarrassment.
Maybe.
Some. Some.
I've learned a lot about you tonight.
I'm glad that I could help. I was not going to tell that story on air, but sometimes I just get on this microphone and I was like, you know what's funny? It's my balls.
You're welcome. Honestly, though, seriously, like I would honestly call. I would call the fucking hospital and bitch about it. That is not okay.
It was so ridiculous that I couldn't do anything but laugh.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? Like at some point, it just kept. It just became comical, like time after time.
Yeah.
So I didn't even think. I just was like, I don't know.
Because Ben's right. Like there's some violations. Like they don't need.
You don't
to know.
Go through the line like a fast food restaurant and go, sir, what's the problem? Yeah. Especially if someone is vague. Don't you then know, like, okay, maybe they're vague for a reason.
Yeah,
like I'm really that kind of asshole. I'm like, I'm having some pain. Yeah. Where I don't want to tell you.
Right.
Like it's not. You know, I'm being vague for a reason.
Yeah.
You know.
I probably would have said.
Can I just talk to my doctor, please?
Yeah. Where's Dr. Wang?
Just please. But my doctor was the most uncomfortable person there.
No, you should have said, I want to talk to Dr. Wang about
yes.
my wing.
Yeah, I've already spoken to Dr. Wang. I would now like to see Dr. Wang.
Yeah. I want to talk to Dr. Wang about my Smith. Like, I don't know.
How could I not? Okay, if Dr. Wang weren't a part of the story, I probably wouldn't have told it. But how could I resist explaining
True.
That the doctor they put me on the phone with is Dr. Wang?
Honestly, that's not even the funniest part.
No.
It's the orderly wheeling you in. And I feel like half of those people don't need to know.
Fucking orderly. They don't need to know.
But I feel like they can just ask because they're going to go. I'm telling you. You're on a Facebook group. I guarantee it.
The wheeling me in orderly was the one that had to look at my balls with the doctor. He was the buddy,
dude.
The tag team, the phone a friend.
Not all the time does that pay off, but for him it paid the fuck off, dude.
He's like, first I got to hear about him and then I got to see him.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I wish we could have gotten you one of those, hello, my name is, but like, hello,
my balls
ask
hurt.
Me about my balls.
That's basically what the...
Like,
they had to be at some point just fucking with me, right? Like, they had to be like, hey, just go in there and ask what's wrong.
Some British comedy.
You know what I mean? They're all around the table, they're bored, and they're like, no, just go ask room 7 what's wrong.
Maybe somebody figured out who you were, and they were like, Just go ask.
Yeah, we're going to get out of this.
I promise you.
I was 100% worried that, like, somebody is a customer of the Hofbräu, because we have, like, a lot of regulars.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was worried that it would be, like, a regular who, like, sees me walking back and forth all the time, and then I'm like, wow, great, now they've seen my ball.
I got recognized walking through Kaiser from a listener, and it was just for, like, a normal, like, checkup or whatever.
Lucky for you.
Yeah, but it was, like, they called my name, and so I went in the thing, and then when I came out, it was, like, the guy was like, JP? I'm like...
You're like the last place you ever.
Fuck,
like,
dude.
Also, just don't. If
you right
recognize
here.
Me in a awkward
in
just,
a doctor's office,
just don't.
Like the most up until that point, the most awkward place I've ever been recognized was in the men's room at a Sharks game.
Right.
By my voice. But this guy, like, threw in the wind, and it was, like, super nice. But,
remember,
like,
in Coming to America, where, like, the guy's like, oh my God, I love you. He's like, coming out of the bathroom, you are my favorite. This is the best day of my life.
It was weird, man. But yeah, the waiting room at a doctor's office definitely was awkward.
Just don't say
but
hi.
But nice guy. Because then at that point, you're like, well, I'm leaving because I don't want to be at the doctor's office anymore. You're waiting around. I don't know what's wrong with you.
Right.
Can I catch it? I don't know.
Well, everybody knew what was wrong with me.
What else do we talk about?
I already shook her hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice well, there's guy. Not a person at Kaiser that doesn't know what's wrong with me. It was heartbreaking, really.
As long as it wasn't ball breaking, man.
All right. How about we wrap up our Twitter game?
Twitter game. Let's go, Mitch.
We can go eat.
Yeah, I'm starving.
I'm sure everybody's hungry after that.
Yeah, after the Batwing.
And I had to hold the Batwing for 45 minutes.
That's exhausting in its own.
It was. I was like shaking at the end. I'm so out of shape that like
you can't hold my skin.
I'm not kidding. I got the end. She's like, I need you to hold still because of the. Oh, I'm like, I'm trying. I've been holding my skin for 45 minutes.
Do you have any
finer
clips?
I can
just like
just fucking. I'm like at this point, just clip them. You got some clothespins.
That is weird. Oh, 45 minutes is a very long time.
Yeah.
All right. You ready for the Twitter game?
Yeah.
All right.
What was it?
It was, what is the totally legitimate business that we're going to start to celebrate your Italian heritage to launder our money from totally legitimate businesses?
Got it. Okay. I'm going to have to memorize it.
All right. Well, are you going to be all right?
Maybe. How many are there?
Six.
Ooh. Okay.
We can narrow.
First pass,
we'll narrow it down. How about that?
All right.
Bart writes in and says, RV repair.
Oh, that's not bad.
Wait, what is Bart? Oh, Bart, not Bay Area Rapid Transit. The guy, the listener's name is Bart.
The man is Bart J. Mink.
Got it.
And his Twitter handle is BJ, and I think that's funny.
Dr. Wang.
Dr. Wang. Okay. So RV repair, and that actually made me laugh, so I thought that's pretty funny. Yeah. Lou says, I thought that's what the hop grenade was for.
Time to switch your business.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, called out.
Great. Now the hop grenade's also going to get audited.
Yeah. Adam Weaver says, duh, a strip club. You'll never make any money because of Justin, but it'll be fun.
Good point. Yeah.
Tristan says, through a podcast about Disneyland, why not try to capitalize on Disney's already huge popularity and fan base? No one has tried that yet, right?
Pretty smart.
Nicely done.
And I wrote him back. I said, you know what? 5 years ago, no. There were Disneyland had no podcast. Now there's like five.
Mm.
Brian King says, an orphanage in Chechnya, because in Chechnya, orphan is currency.
is currency? That's rude.
Yeah, it's rude, but it's also very funny.
Orphan is in Chechnya, we don't have parents.
You give birth, you are ATM.
Orphan.
Women are looked at as ATM. One sperm handed out around to make money. And then last but not least, Adam says, original Chechenian B12 supplements. Warning may lead to a desire to pick up smoking and heroin use. Consult your doc if you ever return to the show.
It's a good point. I never put those two together. But when I started the B12 pills, I feel is when my downward spiral began. You know, I started smoking. I started stealing.
First of all, that's interesting. We should explore that later. But I feel like your downward spiral is sort of like Dante's Inferno, where there's just layers.
Right.
There's the
just
rings.
Different levels.
Right. So your downward spiral probably began around 35 years ago, maybe. Who knows? And you're just kind of now at like level 6.
I see.
Yeah.
What level does it go to?
9.
Shit.
Yeah. So you're almost there. So you're almost
keep going,
off
this, keep going.
This crazy
better,
thing.
You and Bebo better figure out how to cash out soon, man.
Well, we're just going to take over. We're just going to be doing the show.
I wouldn't do that if I were you. That's,
no.
It's not,
I'd that's figure a hard out, pass from yeah, Bebo.
I'd figure out another way if you actually want to make money.
Well, I would do it until the sponsors left, and then it would just be over. And then that would... And then I'll be over.
But if it took 35 years to get here,
it
right, we're on 6 or 7, maybe? It may take another 15 to get to 9.
Well, but it's faster.
It does ramp up. Yeah. You know how when you pull a rubber band, it gets tighter.
Or a testicle sack.
Yeah. It's as you get right.
We just came from.
The harder you pull it, the more you start to shake.
Right.
Yeah. You're shaking.
Right.
Leave it at that. Is there a camera on Bevo? Because that was the great special.
I hope that everybody at home is picturing me batwing shaking too. In the hospital room.
It's honestly all I can see.
I do blame the Chechnyan B12 now that Adam brings it up.
Okay.
And that, to me, is tonight's winner.
What?
Chechnyan B12, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. And the start of my downward spiral. Although...
Original Chechnyan B12. Original.
Although I did also... A close runner-up is Tristan and the Ears Up podcast. Let's just call it what it is.
That is true.
That was my very close second.
I liked it. I thought it was good. I got to yell at him on Twitter. It was fun.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
All right, are we done here?
Well, we're done.
My ball is starting to hurt again, so I'm going to get out of here. Hey, thanks so much to Flatland Brewing Company and you guys for coming in here and hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you, man.
I hope we didn't ruin your interview at the end there for your family and friends. But
No. I think they're used to it.
Okay, good.
I talk about my balls all the time.
Okay, hell good. Yeah. Good. Listen, I want updates from you because I am I'm rooting for you. Your beer is fantastic, and also I'd like your realism and telling us like it is, so let us know how things go. I hope that everyone gets to quit their jobs soon. Not working for you, other jobs.
Yeah. Because so we can talk a little bit about that, but yeah, let's do another podcast, because honestly, it is not easy to do what we're doing.
Yeah.
My wife and I are like, man, are we in the right industry? And are we doing this properly? And
Michelle, is that her name?
Michelle, yeah.
I think you should bring her in next time, too.
Yeah, I would love to. She was working tonight, unfortunately, paying the bills. But
Yeah. Well, but then we could talk about that side of it, too. But only if you bring in more sour beer.
Yeah, we have a lot of sour beer. We make a lot of sour beer.
If you bring that in, we'll talk about whatever you want.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I'll be back next week.
Right, JP?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Whatever.
Yeah, well, and his medical records.
Yeah. He wants, actually, you know what? I got to... I went in for a physical, and the guy was like, okay, I see some irregular heartbeats, and I recommend going on like a heart monitor for a week. I'm like, okay, cool, I could probably do that. But again, opening a business, stress of all that, high caffeine intake with little sleep, kids, wife, whole thing. I haven't followed up, and I don't have a heart monitor. I've never got blood tests, so I'm probably dying.
You're fine.
So I think
you're probably dying.
So if we get a podcast going in the next 2 weeks, I think we're good.
Deuces, bro.
Yeah, I think Matt will have to fill in.
So
honestly, RIP, first of all.
Hopefully, Michelle took out the life insurance policy already.
We actually, recently did.
Okay, good call there. And then, I don't know, it's fine. You'll be fine.
That's how I feel.
Until it's not fine, you're fine.
You'll be fine, but also, you got the Apple Watch, so that'll take care of you for sure. You got a little robot on your wrist. But also, you know what?
I don't want that.
Honestly, take half a day. Get your fucking blood work, dude. It's
I know. It's simple. There's a Kaiser right next to you.
Don't be an asshole. Just take
two seconds down the road.
Yeah, but honestly, this thing is life-saving.
Does the blood work tell it all, though?
Not all of it, but it gives a good window.
Okay. With the heart monitor, though, I feel like I'd feel better about myself.
I already have
arrhythmic patterns, so I might as well kind of like, okay, this is my normal.
Okay.
Dude, and they're super small now. I did one like 2 months ago.
Yeah. I need to do it. No, I'm just an asshole.
You really should.
Yeah.
I don't know. They don't seem to know anything over there. I think you're fine.
Well, you need to get Dr. Hart.
Yeah.
Dr. Hart.
I need to find the right
guy. You're better off if you get Dr. Hart, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, if you get Dr. Wang on the phone, just be like, I'm sorry, I need Dr. Hart.
I need the doctor a little higher up.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Right, I'm less worried about a heart attack than I am like stroking out. Like at least with a heart attack, you're just kind of gone, right? You're like, gone.
But
the stroking out is what I think is gonna get me, and then it sucks. Yeah. Then you think your life sucks now?
Yeah.
Wait till your face is all saggy, and then you can't think straight anymore.
I mean, that would suck. But also, the worst part about it for me is. They say that your brain sort of has consciousness for like 10 minutes after your heart stops.
Yeah.
Really? 10 minutes?
Yeah.
But they also say that that's like a euphoric moment. Like that whole seeing the light is like a bunch of endorphins going off. Maybe that's better than ayahuasca.
Dying is better than
drugs. So the thing is, like, no one has ever lived through death to tell their death story.
Well, yeah, they have. People well, have operating yeah. tables I mean, all the time.
People who've been
right, and they all tell the same
dead.
Thing with, like, oh, euphoria
some of them, not
and
all
the light.
No, no, some of them, the... there's nothing.
Okay.
There's nothing.
Are they checking brain waves while they're doing this, though?
Some of us
like
are
under,
dead inside.
Yeah.
MRI sort of, like,
you should
brain...
look it up. Like, it's like the new emerging sort of, like,
JP.
Thing.
This is what he
a movie
did.
About, you like, trying to kill yourself and live through that?
Yeah, it's called Flatliners. The original was better than the remake.
With
and that's where I get my information from.
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon,
yeah,
let's
Kevin
get out
Bacon
of here. I'm hungry.
Bacon.
All right. All right. Goodbye. Thank you to Flatland Brewing Company. Go to flatlandbrewingco.com and check them out. We might see you next week. We might not.
okay.
We'll see. I don't right. mean that. That's
no, I appreciate that. Okay. Yes.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Wen.
You're welcome. Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. Andrew and Mac from Flatland Brewing Company came into the studio all the way from the very posh-sounding Elk Grove, California, to share some beers and stories with us. Learn more about them at flatlandbrewing.com.
Not Flatline.
No, or Flat Tail. If you like Disneyland and want to know more about it, check out a very good podcast called EarsUpPodcast.com and support JP in his quest to soak up his free time making zero money. If you love Twitter and homebrew, follow Nate Smith at Nathan Homebrew, Mike McDowell at Tasty McD, and you can unfollow Warren at Another Beardy.
Fuck that guy.
Keep track of JP over on Instagram at Major Jip, Teresa at Pasuti Brews, and Crooked Lane Brewing. And you can find Bevo there as well at Beverly M. Moore. Be sure to find the Brewery Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
JP's an asshole. Justin's a nice guy and winning.